ready?
Yes. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 18.
Part two.
Yeah, the retake. with a slightly different group of people than were here last
night.
We're
going to upload the other version, though, eventually.
Don't need to be that loud, Jim.
Oh, that's right. I'm on a powered mic now. Anyway.
We're going to upload the other one, I think, eventually. It's interesting.
I will not timestamp that, is all I'm saying.
That's fine, because it's an
episode of shame.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that awful. It's not what it is.
It's the worst thing in the world.
I like how Jim called it our April Fool's episode for next year.
I actually think it's interesting because it's a failed podcast, but it's a successful conversation, and that those aren't the same thing.
I wouldn't know because I wasn't there. I just was told it was a failed podcast.
You guys were off seeing a play.
Yeah, that worked out not well for us either. So I guess technically I will introduce myself. I'm Jeremy, Valiant418 on the forums. I play Rhett in Legion.
I'm Katie Badhorse on the forums. I play Circle. But I want to tell my story of a failed conversation earlier today.
All right.
It's not that great. I had a conversation with a girl and we were talking about two different things the entire time.
Wow, what a great story.
Yeah, it was.
You know how, Katie, sometimes we talk about stories that aren't that good either? Like, there's podcasts that are bad, there's stories that are bad. This was both.
Anywho.
Raising the bar.
For
good job giving us an example of a failed conversation, Katie, right here on air.
You're welcome.
I'm Nathan Rydia fan, and I honestly have no idea what I play.
Brian, Carnage for you. I play the Crix.
You do?
I'm Andy. I play Trollbloods.
Also true. So anyway...
Your show yesterday, how was that?
So we were going to go see a play yesterday. We were very excited. We were going to go see the play Big Fish on Broadway in Chicago. Super excited about it, getting ready to leave, tried to print our tickets. Ticketmaster wouldn't let us print them. This was confusing to us since we needed to leave for our show. So we call up Ticketmaster, and she's on the phone with Ticketmaster, I'm on the phone with Ticketmaster, both, you know, waiting interminably for them to actually talk to us. And then I start talking to my person, and I walk into the other room because her person also just answered her. So she's talking to them. And Katie comes out, she's like, hang up. I was like, what? Hang up. Okay, bye. And I click, hang up the phone, and she goes, the show was yesterday. So we had bought tickets for 2 p.m. on Saturday, not Sunday. Apparently that's a thing you can do.
I'm angry at you because I wanted to know what a live performance of that movie would be like.
Well, as it turns out, we'll still be able to let you know because they are being nice enough. What's the name of the theater? Because I should be nice to them.
Oriental Theater in Chicago.
Oriental Theater in Chicago. Not Ticket Express. Oriental Theater in Chicago is being awesome and giving us tickets to the play next Sunday because we're retarded and forgot to show up for the tickets we paid for.
Next Sunday.
I confirmed this.
Sunday.
I double-checked this.
Sunday.
Here's the thing. I had said in, because we're trying to get our carpets clean, I had said in an email, like, I will be out of town on Saturday, so I can't have you guys come then.
Yeah. Yeah, she showed me the email after she told me that we were trying to go to the play on the wrong day. I was like, oh, good. So on Tuesday, you knew which day we were going. That's helpful for us today. Not. So anyway, we totally failed, but we'll still be able to let you know how the play is, because we're going to go see it next weekend.
Well, I'm glad you didn't go to the play on Saturday, because we got to play all kinds of board games.
We did, which was super, super fun. Do you want to talk about which games we played?
Brian tweeted some pictures of the games that we played.
I post most of them. I only tweeted Zombicide to the Crippled System. We played Zombicide, a couple sessions of that.
Mm-hmm.
Andy brought over Sentinels of the Multiverse, which was really super fun.
Yep.
Actually, I really enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
We played a little bit of Raw, which is always a fun action game.
I always win that game.
Me and Jim still managed. Me and Jim managed to always get last place in the game.
But you managed to get last place with style.
Jim was in the pack this time. He was at the back of the pack. There was a winner, there was a loser, and then there was the pack, and Jim was it there that time.
Yeah, but still, he was.
That's because Brian was the loser this time.
Well, yeah, but,
no, but normally it's like Brian and Jim combined get a total of last place.
Yeah, and I actually had over 20-some points, which was like doubled my last game.
This time, if they were a team, they would have won.
That is shocking.
Yeah.
We also played... we played King of Tokyo.
Yep. That one was also fun. That one was interesting. We played it with the expansion, you said, right? I would say without the expansion, I don't think I would like that game because I think what makes it playable is the expansion.
Without the expansion, it would just be Yahtzee, but worse, and with a goofy little board.
Yeah, what does the expansion do?
The cards, the action cards that you got when you rolled three hearts.
Okay.
That's like
your racial abilities, quote-unquote.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not in the core game.
Yeah,
oh, really?
The expansion gave the game actual, difference. And, it's amazing how, just that factor makes the game so much.
I wouldn't know. I never rolled three hearts.
Not
me
once
neither.
The whole game.
You almost won the game.
I had a great ability.
And then Brian opened his mouth.
Well, Well, to be fair, I was going to try to kill you either way.
No, you weren't.
Because, yeah, I was.
No, you weren't.
You were gonna, yeah, you wouldn't have tried to roll. Like, he was like, you have to do three. Like, you might have rolled just one or two and then kept the extra VPs, but he gave you that exact number that you had to roll.
And then I rolled four.
Right.
And then I ate shoots and leaves.
The point is, you might have been okay with doing one damage to her just to get into Tokyo if you hadn't known that you had to roll three.
That's true. That's true.
We also played D-Day Dice, which actually was a
surprisingly fun.
Yeah, it's well, it actually mechanically is a lot like King of Tokyo because they're both Yahtzee style, roll dice three times and hope for sets. But it's a co-op game, and I don't know. It was
they're
a little
both dice related, but I feel like they're very different.
They are very different, but that's yeah, it's that same
the
core mechanic.
Of the re-rolling the dice was yeah. there.
Cooperative dice game. I have to say, I haven't played many cooperative dice games, and that was an interesting aspect to it.
I didn't know they existed.
Yeah, it reminded me not in the co-op place because I've never played a co-op dice game before, but. There's a game I played that's like Yahtzee, only you want to pick up... You get cards that power you up and give you extra dice and stuff. And
is it like...
It's called To Court the King.
Yeah, I was going to say if it's royalty, really. Yeah, I played that one.
So, and it kind of, like, it reminded me of that a little bit, because as you go, you buy things that power up yourself.
Right.
But except you're trying to power up everybody together, which is the difference there.
Also, turns out the lieutenant's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
the
lieutenant is
D-Day
pretty
dice.
Broken.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. He was good. And then I would have definitely played, like, three more games of Sentinels of the Multiverse if it hadn't been for the fact that the way ours ended sort of killed it for all of us, because everyone was dead except Nathan. And Jim was basically not really playing either.
No, but Jim was very important because he was almost dead, and there was a mechanic in the game that, like, whoever was closest to death basically didn't exist, and because he wasn't dead yet, that kept being him instead of me.
Yeah.
So it was me murdering the monster with all your guys' help, because when you were dead, it basically was just extra turns for me, which was broken as all hell.
Well, they say it's an intentional mechanic in the game that you're more angry because your compatriots have died, and so you're more powerful.
It's true.
It seemed like a little bit of a broken mechanic.
Specifically with my character. I don't know about other characters, but my guy being able to draw like 50 cards, it made me literally unkillable, and then I was just doing metric tons of damage.
Yeah, anybody that's a tank character, I think, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And you have,
wow,
Andy,
thank
you
for that,
all,
Andy.
You have everything for that game, right? You have every expansion and all the stuff.
I have all the expansions, but I...
Wow. I hope that smells, and I hope you hate it.
Sorry.
Fart. It's funny because of Flash.
I have everything except for a lot of the promo cards that came out. I got, like, the last edition of the promo cards. But, yeah, there's still some of the alternate villains and heroes I don't have yet.
But, I mean, you have so many villains. We could play the game a couple dozen times and never repeat anything. Which
easily.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... As soon as I get them all sleeved up, holy fucking
I will
Christ.
Say that sleeving that game is a nightmare of epic proportions. I understand why you want to do it. To, like, not have the game break down on you later, but,
so many cards. Drunk people spilling
Hey,
spilling
I don't know
drinks.
Anyone that would ever spill a drink near a game while we're playing it, ever.
Or
that,
about
that
near,
sound...
near an iPad.
No, or, also not near an iPad.
Yeah.
And then when they spill it on your iPad,
uh-huh.
They just
look
ignore
at it.
Yep.
And keep doing
fine.
What they're doing.
Yeah, yep. That was great. He just spilled it all over your iPad, and it was like,
really
near the game.
iPad.
And he just picked up, like, it was all over, it was on the iPad, and it was on a player aid, which is just a sheet of paper with black ink on it. He's like, oh, move that player aid and let the iPad rot.
Yep.
By the way, the next board game day session I have will not be at the Shays. It's going to be at a game store. I ask people who want to play. Some people who want to join us. I want you guys to meet.
Apparently.
Some people we don't know. We probably
I'm
going to
bring,
go
like,
to
Brett
house.
Myers, who me and Nathan know, and I think Andy knows a little bit. And some people. I don't want to invite critically
acclaimed board game designer Brett Myers, maker of such games as those The Lord of the Rings cooperative dice game and Nanook.
Yep.
How am I supposed to stay in my pajamas all day if I have to go out?
Plus, I also want a better... that way we can bring up games that are more valuable and not be afraid of all the alcohol being spilled.
You know what? I moved my drinks off of the table after the incident.
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
I mean, but obviously... We want to try to get more people, but we don't want to invite them over to your house.
No, I mean, having people come over to my house when I don't know them is a little bit weird.
And one nice thing about going out and doing something like that and then having more people is that you can actually break down into other numbers of people playing games. Because when you have a larger pool, you can just split up.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you have five people, you have to play a five-player game. If you have nine people, you can do 3 and 6. You can do 4 and 5. You can do 3, 3, 3. You can do all kinds of different subsets.
Well, you've been our board game. We usually have, like, 10-plus.
Well, we did it at Misty, and we've kind of dwindled down to a smaller number.
I'm going
to
do another big Mass Invite sometime in the next month and just invite, like, 20 people and see
if we can
15
get
or 10.
13, we can play Dune and Diplomacy at the same time.
Or Dune and Rex at the same time.
Get 12 and do Dune and Rex. We still need to play them back to back. Dune, then Rex.
Mm. One thing I will say about Sentinels, I want to play more Sentinels. Sentinels to me is like Lord of the Rings. It's a game, actually, now that I've played it, I want to play it more, but I want to play it on like a set day. Like, I want to get together and say, let's play Lord of the Rings or let's play Sentinels.
Oh, really? You just want to play like Sentinels back to back to back to back?
Yeah, I'd rather do that with that game than like mix it in, because it's a fun game, but I think it's just like I don't want to just play Lord of the Rings in the middle of a board game day. I love it, and we play it every other week forever.
It is weird to intermix it in, though. And I will say that when I played Sentinels last time, that's what I did, was one of the board game days you organized. It was like me, Nate Newby, Mo, and someone else. I think there were four of us.
Jim was there.
Andy.
Oh, Andy. Yes. Andy. Duh. Sorry. So anyway, but yeah, and we just played the crap out of that game that day. Yeah. Like, we played wrong, like, four different villains. Like, we managed to play
Citizen Dawn. We just played her.
We played Citizen Dawn completely wrong. No, we played the robot super wrong, too.
I don't think I was there for that one.
Okay, well, we definitely played this robot one that its whole mechanic was, like, instead of playing one cards, he plays two cards. Then he flips over, and instead of playing one cards, he plays three cards. And we definitely played one card the whole time with him. And he was super easy to beat. It was weird.
Yeah. Well, because you made him so he didn't have a special ability. Because his special ability was he plays a card.
Yeah.
And the normal ability they all have is he plays a card. And you didn't realize that it was both.
Yeah.
You were like,
that was almost exactly what we did with Citizen Dawn as well. So, such is life.
I liked Zombicide a lot.
Zombicide was really fun.
I liked getting blamed for losing one game, and I don't think I actually did lose that one. And then I liked actually losing the other game.
You did actually lose the other game. That's true.
The game I want to bring out a little bit more here and there. I'm really mostly waiting for the expansions to come out, but I want us to stay fresh with it just a little bit.
I really want, like, that's one of those games kind of like, what was the Game of Thrones game you and I played all through all the missions?
Battle of Westeros.
Battle of Westeros. Much like Battle of Westeros, that's a game that I literally, truly want to just play through every single mission.
Yeah.
Literally?
Literally.
I do want to
start. I threw that out there for Fat Asian.
To start back up, because we still have another dozens of missions to go.
We also need a space alert campaign.
And more War of the Ring.
We need to do a space alert campaign.
Can we stop playing War Machine and just play more board games?
At the moment, I don't play any War Machine faction. So
we just did episode 71, so we're just going to be just like them if we decide we're going to start playing board games.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we can truly be like Focus Sphere. We're out. You know, I half only play War Machine because everyone around here plays it. Like, it's our core hobby.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys all set up with War Machine, I'd toss it.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to say that I couldn't do that. There are other things I have played in my life and done as far as hobbies that I got the same like fix for a truly competitive activity that I get out of War Machine. I don't get that out of board games. Like, I just don't.
Well, they're not about the competitive nature. They're about just the social.
Well, they're for me, but.
Oh, our board games get pretty bloodthirsty.
We get a good game
of StarCraft going on one of our other crazy games. Everyone's out to kill each other. It's great.
It's true. But like, there's something about War Machine. That's not that the board games we play are bad, because I really enjoy them, but there's a level of depth to the strategy and skill that's just not there with most other games besides War Machine. It just isn't.
I like board games better.
I know you do.
That's because I like the social aspect way more, and some people, when you play War Machine with them, don't want to chit-chat.
It's true. They think you're trying to play head games with them.
Like, stop talking to me. Sometimes they're playing head games with you.
That's the thing. That's why some people think that.
Yeah, we're talking about you. You know who you are.
But yeah.
I thought you were talking about Walter.
Oh. Walter's a whole other level.
Yes.
Walter's amazing. I wish everyone was like Walter.
Do I even know Walter?
I know. If you knew Walter, you'd know Walter. You went to a DEFCON
last year, didn't you?
I did not.
He'll be there this year.
He'll be there.
Okay. He'll be the crazy circle player.
I don't know if you remember last year. Much like this year, I had like six painted rep models. Only last year I didn't have an entire painted army I bought off someone. So Adepticon was not a thing for me. Yeah, thank you, Marshall.
I've got a fully painted pig army this year.
I know.
So I'm going to be playing some shit.
Except you're not actually playing. You forgot to register for anything.
I'm going to have time to play.
You're not going to have time to play.
Yeah.
Aren't you signed up to, like, PG 17 hours a day, 3 days straight?
Yeah. Okay. How many hours are in a day?
Yeah, then taking a judge test.
Yeah, then you're taking a judge test while hallucinating.
So that's...
The little green men will not give you the right answers. They just won't.
I mean, remember, if a Texan could pass this test and you fail it,
that's true.
That's how low the bar is. So we will judge you forever if you fail this test.
My fear is that I'm going to get too many questions right, because if they can pass the test, it's because they allow wrong answers to count.
And a Canadian passed the test.
Those aren't even real people.
Canada is this week's winner.
They are.
We got that one out of the way, right?
Yeah, way to get that out of the way.
Here's
early,
funny
Nate.
Trivia. Canada is the only state that can print its own currency. Of all 51 states, they're the only one that's allowed to make their own currency. It's adorable.
52 states.
Isn't it 52, remember?
Isn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Isn't it 52?
Well, he cut Puerto Rico and
Puerto Rico and Guam are one state together. I know, like, there's actually somebody on the Mutes forum who lives in Guam, and he was so excited when I mentioned Guam.
He's like, "Ooh, that's actually me." I think it was Jeremy. It was counting old Mexico.
Yeah.
Because there's new and then old Mexico.
Then old Mexico.
South Mexico.
So, yeah, yes. Southern Mexico.
Lesser Texas, as the Texans like to call it.
Well, they do make the food better in Texas.
I like how they were talking about, speaking of Texas, the cop might, because you know, I think they're in Houston, right?
Yes, they're in
and
Houston.
And there's a, what's a big, is it, it's a northern city in Texas? I don't,
Dallas?
Is it Dallas?
Austin.
Austin, I think.
Also Austin. Those
they were,
are
they
both
were,
cities.
They were saying how they're going to, Austin wants to steal the cup because it'd be 4 hours closer. It only could be, on, you know, somewhere in Texas where it's 4 hours closer, but it's still like in the middle of a goddamn fucking state where it takes like a
I don't know if you know this. Texas is freaking huge.
My ex was from Texas, and she liked to brag about how big the state was or whatever because Texans all brag about it. And I like to just point out, you know, you could double the size of Texas, and it still wouldn't be the biggest state.
It's true.
True fact. And it pisses off Texans when you point that
out. When you point it out, they do get upset about it. But they are the largest continental state.
Alaska's on a continent.
It is, but it's not considered one of the continents.
It's not contiguous.
It's on the North American continent.
It is. But there's 48, they call them the 48 continental states.
I do love the only reason we bought Alaska was so that we'd have better leverage for beating the shit out of Canada. That's literally the only reason we bought Alaska.
I thought we wanted Eskimos.
Yes, that too.
Goddamn Canada.
Also salmon.
Mmm, salmon.
Mmm, salmon up there is delicious.
True story.
It's true.
So interesting story, though, too, about Texas. We have a roommate who came from Arizona, so it's close by.
Ish.
We went to a Firehouse Subs. I don't know if they have them in any other area, but in Arizona they do. And they've got hot sauces that range from 1 to 10. Here, down in Arizona, they actually range 1 to 12. In fact, he asked the gal behind the counter here, he's like, "Hey, do you have any other 12? She's like, "No. Is there... only go to 10 here."
They outdo Spinal Tap.
They
go to 12.
Yeah,
they need to actually go higher. Hot sauces are good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. Tabasco is the worst hot sauce there is. It's awful. It just tastes like vinegar.
Yeah.
Like,
horrible.
If you are putting Tabasco sauce on your food, stop it. At least get Sriracha. That's mainstream enough. I like Cholula. It has the Mexican lady on the front.
Yeah,
it has
the
wooden
red
cap.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one they use at like Qdoba and stuff. They'll have Cholula. That one's it actually tastes really good. It's got that smoky flavor to it instead of just tasting like vinegar and heat.
Yep.
Just get some better hot sauces.
Technically habanero based, isn't it? The Cholula.
Whatever it is, it's good.
I think it
is. The point is, try some other ones. Get the Tabasco. It doesn't deserve to still exist. Much less be the number one market share hot sauce. It's awful.
Elitist.
It's probably the cheapest to make too.
Probably. It's just vinegar and heat.
It's the Miracle Whip of hot sauces.
Yes.
Yeah, Miracle Whip.
Nice. Oh, so
bad. Yeah, I would agree with that. Of course, I do like Miracle Whip.
Who was putting A1s on their steak?
Oh, my God. Bill French. Oh, my God.
Bill Shady French.
Bill Shady French. He put it, we go to Aston House. It was delicious. They ordered some small beers, so they were the size of their torsos.
Yep.
I got...
Nobody got a boot?
This isn't my... No, we didn't get boots.
Oh, you got to get the boot.
No, I think they... Well, most of them had... Well, was planned to go back to the place and demo games.
Oh.
For ACD Games Day. And that,
so
that
you don't really want a boot before that.
No.
Yeah. No, you don't want a boot before that. But the beers were still, like, literally, they were...
Oh, they're huge.
Liters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, 2-liter jugs of beer. But Kostreiser Schwarz beer... Kostreiter Schwarzbier. I got that, and it was amazing. It's not my official recommendation, but I'm throwing it out there. That was delicious.
Got the Hofbräu Maibock.
It's up there.
Maibocks are tasty.
The Schwarzbier is like a dark one. It's almost like a Guinness, and I love Guinness, and this was like along those same lines. So if you like Guinness, try it out.
Did they have any Belgian triples? Those are my favorite.
I don't know.
They're amazing.
But they had delicious, delicious pretzels.
Yep.
They had delicious beer. They had sauerbraten. The cheese curds were okay.
They have great cheese curds.
As a Wisconsinite, they weren't good for Wisconsin caliber
yes,
cheese
are.
Curds. I mean, they're good.
You son of a...
Maybe, oh, Jesus Christ. I didn't think you'd actually choke me. I thought that was just going to be a pantomime. Like, they'd be the best cheese curds in the state in any other state. But in Wisconsin, they're just good cheese curds.
They're pretty damn good cheese curds.
They're damn good cheese curds.
They're top five. You find me four better
tell you
cheese
what,
curds.
Okay, I'll say this. I had some cheese curds off of somebody's plate like after they'd already been eating them for 5 minutes, so they were no longer hot. So maybe that was the issue, is I just had cold
exactly
cheese with
it.
Batter on it.
Yeah. Stop knocking it.
The point is...
Wow.
I forgot what the point is. Sauerbraten's delicious. But we started something there. Bill French put A1 steak sauce on his goddamn steaks.
Yeah, I think
you know what it's called, steak sauce. That's
you know what's
what
great on a steak?
For.
No, you know what? It's delicious on a steak. Nothing, because steaks are fucking delicious.
Blue cheese. Yeah.
Blue cheese is delicious.
I will
on
say
steaks.
Though, everybody gave him a dirty look as he put on there. There was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I like it this way."
God, just all you taste is the steak sauce. Why would
right?
you?
But steak sauce tastes good.
Okay, I wish it on something ordered crappy. Well done. Put it on
it's
some
really
fries
good
or something.
It's really good on meatloaf. Yeah.
When anyone puts or cooks a steak over medium,
why are they doing that?
I put ketchup on it.
Well, why are they already ruined it? If it is not at most medium rare, rare and medium rare are the two proper choices. I'm okay with
I'll
either of
medium.
Those two. I like rare. Sometimes I like medium rare. It depends on my mood. Raylene likes raw. Some people like whatever. Like medium rare is good. But if it's well done, oh, fuck you.
It needs ketchup after that.
Well, it needs to just not exist after.
Katie and I went to Sprecher's one time, and how bad was the steak we got there? We ordered it medium, which is what we usually order steaks, and it was so overcooked that Katie put ketchup on hers, I put A1 steak sauce on mine, and we still couldn't eat our steaks.
Pro tip, I always order steak 1 gauge lower than I actually want because they're going to overcook it.
I want my steaks on the rare side of medium rare, and he wants his medium rare. You want yours well done.
I don't like them well done, but I would eat medium well.
You unfortunately. Like
nor like actual medium well, not Sprecher's medium
there's
well.
There's so much advice you give that's wrong, and
I'm
this
aware.
Is way up in there.
Yeah, that's
I'm
way
aware.
Up there.
So we
so
compromise.
We do compromise
steaks.
To medium because we share our steaks.
Over at the
so
Samba.
So adorable.
Isn't it?
It's cheaper that way.
You should compromise to medium rare because it's correct.
I like where Nathan's going with this.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
Samba. But Samba?
Samba.
Whose meat was medium rare?
Yeah, except for when I was the first person to get the meat off the stick.
You got a rare.
And no,
I got medium.
Real,
you got well.
No, I got well done, like crunchy well done.
You know, and I got the end of this kebab, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had one piece that was from the middle of the kebab that I'm pretty sure it had seen fire from a distance, but it was rare.
It heard about fire.
It heard about fire.
Someone told it a story about Trader once.
It was so rare. Well, it was at a different period in time than your super well-done
steak.
No,
they definitely had some. Sometimes like, those two. I still
but
ate
it.
It
was still
meat.
An amazing.
But
oh,
yeah, that
man.
Flank steak, most of that flank steak was
oh,
medium
flank
rare.
Steak was, the flank steak was flank steak. Lights out the best stuff.
You know why? Because it wasn't delicious. Overcooked.
It was the best.
You need to eat medium rare, Jeremy.
I would kill for more flank steak.
So Samba tomorrow night?
It's so expensive.
It was pricey.
Yeah,
it is not cheap. That is true.
I need more Groupons, and we need an efficient number of people to come.
Yeah, the efficient number is key. That is true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was delicious. Oh, man. Yeah. And then I love how we took a picture, and I managed to get the names wrong because I switched up Nate and Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Katie has a beard.
So Katie had a beard, and Nate had boobs. Oh, wait. Nate always has boobs.
Well, you had Raylene was Nate, and then Katie was me. Or like it was just
no,
made
I had
sense.
Raylene.
Then
and then
Katie.
And then Katie, and then Nate, and it was actually really Nate.
The
Katie.
First time I took the picture, I laughed because I knew he was. Oh, I knew someone
hell.
Was not going to be in it.
Yeah, there was no way.
No,
get
no,
the whole
I was in that picture.
Your
no.
gut was
just my belly. Yeah, just my belly was in that picture.
Yeah,
we're all glad it's spring. You'll be running around.
Welcome
yeah.
to your first world problem, Jeremy. Yeah, my distended belly for eating too much meat.
Third worlds have distended, but never mind. I started
like,
that
I
sentence
like,
into a total.
I like how Nathan was like was asking if he should turn over the meat clock for those of you that have been to Samba. And Brian's like, well, I'm not going to tell you yes, but I'm not going to tell you no. And Nate's like thinking about it. He's thinking about it. And finally, he's like, all right, fine. Turns the meat clock to off. And Brian's like, oh, thank God.
Well, we were all happy because none of us were willing to flip that thing to off.
So that was my martyrdom. I took the bullet. I took the, okay, I'll be the pussy who turns it over because all of you men are begging for me this to happen.
And then Andy got back from the bathroom and was sad.
We did talk about this so in the last podcast.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
The failed podcast?
Needs a separate pineapple toggle.
No, yeah. No, no, we talked about Nate being passed up twice for food.
Well, because the problem is that Nate looked like a pussy, so they didn't think he could eat that
no,
much.
No,
no,
was,
he was surrounded by me and Raylene, and we had stopped eating.
So one end of the table was was Jeremy, Brian, and Andy, who still were eating, and the other table was Katie and Raylene, who were weeping openly and had their like plates turned upside down and had
Katie
the napkins
about
on their lap. And then me just sitting there, and so the guy comes over and gives flank steak to you three and just blows right past me.
No, the better part, it wasn't just you missing the flank steak. The best part was you missed the flank steak, so we're all loudly talking about how you get missed the flank steak. So the chicken guy comes over and offers it to just Nate. And Nate is like, no, fuck your chicken.
Yes. Well, because he comes up from behind. He's like, sir, would you like something? I'm like, oh, good. The flank steak guy came back. And I turn and it's chicken. And I'm like, you son of a whore. I hope you die in a thousand fires.
He then cried.
The thing is, when you end up being the chicken guy at a Brazilian steakhouse, you know that everybody hates you.
Yeah.
Like, nobody likes the chicken guy.
Well, they should have the chicken guy switch back and forth between the flank steak
guy.
They
did switch back and forth.
Or could they do flank steak and a pineapple guy.
Yeah, ultimately, they could just not have fucking chicken.
Yeah.
Some people won't eat red meat.
That is true.
Then why are they at a Brazilian steakhouse?
Because their friends drag them there.
Whatever. No, the point is, then just don't go. Like, it's like saying there's somebody at like, they don't need to serve, like, hamburgers at KFC. It's KFC. The C is for chicken. If you don't want chicken, you don't go there.
What? The C is for chicken?
Actually, I heard they had to change the name to KFC, not to get rid of fried, but to get rid of chicken, because technically the genetically engineered monster things they sell don't qualify as chicken by the FCC. They qualify as meat product. I heard that on the internet.
Oh, God.
100% true all the time.
Everything on the internet's true. I know that because the internet told me so, and everything on the internet's true.
So next time Privateer comes out to ACD Games, that's where we should go next, is Samba.
Oh, Samba.
We should make it that... make it happen next time.
So good.
But Samba isn't a block away from ACD Games Day, which Essen House is.
That is true, too.
So next time they have a 3-hour layover before their flight, we need to take them to Samba.
So they can all pass out on the plane. So do you guys want to actually talk about what ACD Games Day was? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's a good segue. Look at that.
Because like, I know what it is, but...
Well, it's really more so set for retailers.
Right, I know.
To... What the hell are you doing?
Secret cookie eating away from our microphones.
Yeah. Someone should take a picture of this. This is ridiculous.
Is that why you
that's really
decided
what
to start up the conversation about ACD Games Day is so they could secretly eat cookies?
No, because we're a half hour in and we haven't talked about ACD Games Day.
What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
You guys keep talking about ACD Game Days but not saying what it is, so I figured we'd actually explain it. Since
We could have somebody here who could explain
what it is. Hey, we have somebody from ACD that just walked in. Somebody who likes level 12 hot sauce at Firehouse Sub Sauce Place. I don't know what that restaurant's called.
The Firehouse.
Firehouse Subs, yeah. The place is fantastic. The Madison location, though, doesn't have the level 12 sauce like the Arizona one does.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to drop by and, you know, give them some stuff.
Yeah, but we have better beer.
Name's Cole. I work at ACD. I'm a sales rep there. ACD Games Day was our trade show convention we did last week. Got things kicked off last Wednesday night with some casual gaming. We ran a giant escape game event. It was the largest group of people playing the Escape from Queen Games consecutively, simultaneously at the same time. So cool world record there. Awesome seminars for retailers given by great manufacturers like Cool Mini, Privateer Press, Wizards of the Coast, Playroom Entertainment. A lot of great stores also participate. Friday, more seminars. Thursday night was open gaming, demos, tons of giveaway.
Party time. Thursday is when I won 2 free games on Thursday.
Yeah, I think you were gaming the system. Most people didn't get that much.
Well,
I gave them mine.
Yeah. Like,
see, gaming the system. Yeah. I rest my case.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you, Cole. Would you like a cookie?
All right.
Okay, fair enough. I'll allow it.
Stealth cookie. See that?
He's like a ninja.
Those Arizonans, they can just teleport cookies. They have the force.
Well, there we go.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah, stop eating cookies in front of the mic.
I'm sorry,
Jeremy, lean awkwardly away from the microphone and eat your cookie like a decent human being.
That's what I do.
Take your shame elsewhere. Also, like, something's wrong with the world right now because, well, I mean, if one person would have to be the one, she's still to be the right one, but Katie is literally the only podcast member not to have farted yet.
You don't know that.
It's true, I don't know that for sure.
Everyone pause and give Katie a moment to fart.
But I just like, yeah.
If you stare at a girl long enough, she farts.
It's a true fact.
Yeah,
I read it on the internet.
Yeah, that's why guys stare at girls.
that's the real reason.
So that's the reason?
Yeah.
So ladies, fart. You didn't know that?
Like, oh, he's checking me out. No, he just wants you to fart.
Okay, then.
So, I think we might be coming up on something that you should be thinking about.
You guys are talking about farting. I'm going to play my game.
No, let's change topics.
Building a meta. Somebody wanted us to talk about this.
I got an email here. I'll read the email.
Oh, you can read the email then.
I can.
Okay. Oh, we just spoiled what it was.
Can you read it in your Swedish voice?
That I cannot do. Please. All right, so Nick
Can you do Austrian? You guys went to Austria. Do your Austrian accent.
Ahem. Nick Palomo said.
Or German. You were at Germany.
Wow. All right.
How do this Suns go the meta?
This is this guy's 30 seconds of nerd fame, and you're all talking over it.
No.
I'm Nick. I want to know how you build the meta. Talk like that.
Look at a pump.
You are up.
So Nick,
wait. If you talk like that, I will personally enjoy it.
Oh, good. As
you
long
talk
as
like this all the time?
You can talk like that for theme night.
You guys are killing me. All right. Hello, Crippled System. My
Crippled System.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. My gaming group is trying to build our meta. We are fairly small with three consistent players. That's three. What strategies would you recommend for player recruiting?
Why did that need to be stressed?
Because I wanted to throw in a non sequitur because I can't do accents.
That's not a non sequitur. That's totally sequited. That's not a word. That's a word now.
That's not a word.
That's a word now.
It's a word. He's in Mensa.
Yes. No, he's not in Mensa. He rejected
Mensa. He's like, I'm too smart for you guys.
What strategies would you recommend for player quote-unquote recruiting? Wargaming does not exist in my area, so we cannot convert people. Most local Magic the Gathering players are not interested either. Thanks in advance, Unwritten Glory.
Well, my shorter answer to that as a press ganger is just keep on showing up. Keep on showing up and playing. Pick a game night, keep playing on that game night. You know, it might get boring after a while, but eventually you might have some people that wander into the store and say, hey, what's this? And come over and check it out, you know. Advertise demos.
Yep.
That's a big thing. You know, say, I'm going to be here on Saturday. We're going to be demoing the game. Make sure your game store is fine with it. You know, pick a day with it.
Did he say where his meta is?
He doesn't actually say where the meta is located.
One thing you can also do, one thing I will say just as an aside, though, I'm surprised to hear Magic players not being interested, because Magic players in general take to this game like ducks to water, mm-hmm. just because it really is Magic the board game, or the minis game, because it's very similar with the untap, upkeep, do your mm-hmm. stuff, then the next person's turn. But if you have a smaller meta, if there's a within an hour and a half driving distance meta that's larger, if they have tournaments and stuff like that, and you go to theirs, and then you try to get them to come, and if you can like host events and bring them down, then when you have bigger events, people will see it. What?
Ooh, shit, their fucking pants.
Who just farted a moment ago, Andy?
I don't know.
Yeah, mine does not smell.
I didn't smell over here yet.
Jeremy, it was you. You like leaned over.
I did.
And
that is horrendous.
Thank you. Keeping it classy.
Keep it classy, San Diego.
Back to the. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like we here in Madison, like there's smaller metas around, like Appleton and stuff like that, where they're just like smaller groups. But they come to our events mm-hmm. a lot, and then if they wanted to host an event, if they got a kit for their thing, and they said, "Hey guys, we're having an event," we'd go there, yep. and then they'd have these larger events and size. Beget size. Like when people see, oh, look at this, what's going on? There's a 12-man tournament in my game, or even just 8 or 6 or whatever. There's a tournament going on in my local game store this Saturday. Well, I want to look at what's happening here. You know, they wander and they see what's happening, they get interested.
Yep.
Also, even things like putting up, you know, telling the game store, hey, we're going to play every Thursday. And like you said, show up every Thursday. Maybe it's you and two friends and you play. We built a Warhammer community in Madison, which we then killed when we switched games, but then we played War Machine. And build that community up. It was a matter of just coming down on game nights, build flyers, try to start leagues, try to do whatever you can to advertise. And what Nathan's perfect, you know, go to your local metas, go to the, you know, interweb, see Prefecture Press has a community section. There's a new players. There's an official event site. There's multiple places you can go and say, hey, I want to play in this X part of the country. What's around me? If you're willing to drive, I mean, we drive regularly 2 to 3 hours back and forth all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally, we'll even go 5 hours or more, but you know, we're pretty diehard. But, you know, 2 to 3 hours shouldn't be that crazy for someone to go on a weekend.
Yeah, like Milwaukee and Chicago. Milwaukee's an hour and a half each way, and Chicago's like 2.5 to 3 hours. And we'll, if there's a Chicago event, we'll go.
Yep. And like I said, then they come to our events, we mm-hmm. go to their events. And even if the store knows people are playing more, we get some people who just like walk up to play that just said, hey, I went to the game store on Monday, and they said, Wednesday's your game night, so I showed up on Wednesday. You know. And one thing, too, is if you're trying to build a community, you have to make sure you approach the new players well. Everyone has their own opinions on how to play the game, and you have to be open and friendly. I mean, I'll admit, there's days where I have a bad work week, and all I want to do is go down to the game store and just take my meanest list possible and just stomp someone in the fucking face as hard as I can. And, you know, that's
there are days you don't want to do that?
Well, occasionally. But, you know, but if you're trying to build a community, you have to, you know, you don't just say, hey, new player, let me just trounce you. And then they walk away and say, that game was dumb.
Yep.
So every new player in Madison, their first game against me, they win. And that's not a coincidence because, you know, as they say, let the Wookiee win. You want them to have fun. You want them to they're going to lose the game enough times like that they want to get their feet wet and get interested before it's just smashed out of them. And I was going to say, along the line with Flyards, I'm blanking on who it is right now. I'll post it in the thread, but one of the – I can't remember the name of the retail support guy at Privateer Press, but whatever his name is at privateerpress.com, you can – your store can email and get free flyers
to put up. I believe that's Bill French.
Is it Bill?
Yeah, he's there.
But I don't think his website is like Bill. I forget what the actual web – the email address is, and I'll post the thing. But there's an email address that you can just get free flyers and free, like, whatever to, from for your store.
There's an official, official retail address.
Yeah, it's an official retail that you email and you say, hey, I want flyers and little whatever stuff to generate interest or a retail support starter kit, and they'll send free stuff to that store, flyers to put up and things like that. And, you know, you can't overestimate that.
And even when someone says, you know, I don't think my Magic players are interested, there's probably half of them aren't. Maybe even 8% are. But there's a kabillion Magic players.
Yeah. If there's 100 people playing Magic and you get a tenth of them, that's 10 new players.
Yeah. And if people just see the game play, I mean, people just like walk into – I mean, they walk into our room and they're playing their D&D and they go, what the hell is going on over there? And they see these crazy armies moving around and sometimes they're interested.
I will say one thing from a non-press ganger point of view that I think is something people always forget is if you want to get people interested – have a painted army.
I was literally about to say that.
Yeah, have a Colossal or a Gargantuan on the table. Like, have something that looks really sweet that someone's walking by your table and they're like, what's that? I want to find out what this is. Like, Colossals and Gargantuans are really, really good at that. Fully painted armies. Really good at that.
I started playing this game because I saw a picture of Terminus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suggest bring if one of your players actually has a Legion, pick up an Archangel.
Oh, yeah. Pick up an Archangel. And
just put him on the table.
That's
doesn't
a
matter.
Beautiful. I mean, I play Legion. I will eventually get one of those just because it's a beautiful model. I don't know that I think it's all that good, and Andy yells at me because I haven't tried it yet. I'm going to try it, Andy. But but it regardless of whether it's any good, it's a gorgeous model.
Well, I saw Lewis had it. I'm like, holy damn, that thing is amazing. I mean, you see pictures, and you see the table. You're like, holy crap. That thing's like 10 feet tall.
The wings are bigger than I am.
Like you need a special case to transport it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if somebody does want to sit down and play, I think something that if you've got a smaller group is easier to forget. Like in our group, this isn't a problem, but in a smaller group, have a spare template set for them. Have a spare set of tokens so you're not sharing the same color tokens because that's confusing. Have another faction besides just whatever faction you're playing against them.
Order some extra crippled systems dice that they can use.
Order some extra crippled systems dice.
A ruler.
Yep. Like have an extra tape measure. Yet. Have
we can get them.
We could.
Just get custom wall of tape measures.
We should just use regular rulers.
We should use the
just rulers.
Just rulers. Yeah. But yeah, like seriously, have all that stuff set up that's just your this is my box of stuff for when somebody new wants to try the game. Like it's not especially if you're a smaller group and so it's harder to guarantee you'll have someone else whose stuff you can use. It's not a bad idea. It won't cost you much. I know it seems a little bit silly, but that makes a big difference when you want to try the game that you're not like having to pass the tape measure back and forth and share the same four dice.
You can get tape measures for a buck at the dollar store. I, at one point in time, had 8 tape measures, and I literally would just, like, a new player would come in and go, here, you can just have this one.
Yeah.
You know, you can get those glass beads that they use for, like, potting plants. You can get a sack of those for a couple bucks.
Yep.
Only need, like, 10 of them for focus.
I have 10 of the pie plate templates. Thank you, people who leave them behind at a convention.
Any convention, you'll find 2 or 3 of those just lying around.
Yeah. But like that is like, I mean, these are like, I can't say from the press ganger perspective, but from my perspective as a player that started just a year ago, these are the sorts of things that draw interest.
That's generally what at least I have in my trunk.
Yeah.
I have like an extra army in there. Yeah. I haven't recently, but that's generally what I have. And I think most of us all have Run Devils and that have something there.
And make sure you've got some idea, like have some idea in the back of your mind what's a good first player game. Like don't make their first game be Menoth v. Menoth. No one is ever going to want to continue to play War Machine if their demo game is a Menoth v. Menoth mirror match.
Or is against E-Gaspy.
Or is against E-Gaspy.
Because like, that's the important thing is you're not trying to – your goal isn't to train tournament players who are hardcore, sweep the leg, Johnny, you know, whatever. Your goal is to build a social group.
Yes.
And the social group is about having fun.
Yes.
And if that means throwing softball games at the nuke guys, if that means spending a – if that means playing a 3-hour-long, 15-point game because this person has no idea what they're doing, they just picked up a battle box because they thought the models looked neat, you know, these are things you're going to do to build the interest and to be welcoming. You want to be welcoming.
Like something that happened this last week is I was playing a game against a first-time guy. Well, I guess he technically played one game, but a new guy. And Andy came over and just sat at the table with us and assembled models. And Katie came over and just sat and kibitzed. And so it was like, it wasn't like he was it was just me and him. And then all of the cool people were off having fun over in the other part of the store. Like people came over and included him. They chatted with him. They made fun of me.
Me and Nathan were not having fun in the other part of the store.
We were not.
Just as a record.
You were having a miserable, terrible game.
But he can't tell that.
But he doesn't know that.
We were. He couldn't hear all the swearing and cursing going on between the two of us.
God damn it.
But yeah, like I think that was a really
There was a giant cloud of smug over Brian and
over Brian.
Was the general? We try to give off our general cool.
Cool kid
vibe.
Well, we are cooler than everybody else.
Yeah,
the forum.
That cool vibe we give off, where we just think our own shit don't stink.
I just want to. I know my farts don't. I want to take this moment here to talk about how cool we are.
We're just so awesome.
It is really awesome.
You know, the thing is, hey, people Nathan. Listening, you're welcome.
They're high-fiving. All right, so that happened.
Eiffel Tower.
Half Eiffel Tower.
I'm just saying, you're welcome, world.
But, seriously, so this guy's talking about he's got a fairly small group with three consistent players. If a new guy comes in, one of you should play him, and the other two should hang out and chat. That will encourage him to be more more than likely, that will be a good thing.
Unless he's awkward in crowds.
Right. If he's, I mean, hopefully you can analyze that level of whatever. But, most people like being included and like feeling like people are interested that they're there and not just the one guy who has to play the game.
Well, when it comes to new players too, sometimes I'll see a new player come in hey, I'm interested in Signar and I want to play this unit, and then the Signar goes, well, that's a dumb idea, that unit's terrible. You can't just berate them for every idea that they want to play because obviously trenches are terrible.
Don't be a Trevor.
Everything they want to like.
What's the one model that everyone that plays Kador gets into Kador for? Do you guys know this one? Because when we went to the new guys league that Rick started up at Last Square, I had five different Kador players I talked to, and they all got into it for the same model.
Karchev.
So you know what? They're all going to tell you, I'm excited about Karchev. He's awesome. He's badass. He's a jack and a caster, and this is going to be amazing. Don't tell them that he's terrible and shitty, and he's never
His card, Karchev the Terrible.
Tell them, that's a great idea. Let's play a game. Here's a jack, pretend it's Karchev. Or here's Karchev if you've got it. I mean, let them play the stuff they're excited about.
My biggest thing is when you're trying to get new players into the game, don't believe what the internet says. Choose your faction by how it looks.
Yes.
If you like the look of the faction, because you're going to see that faction all the damn time because you're playing it, that's the faction choose to play.
Or if you're a fluff bunny, then pick the one you like the fluff of. Because these races do have very significant
backstories. Whatever makes you enjoy playing the game.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Don't play it just because it's the new hotness. I mean,
you have plenty of time to make your second faction Krix. So,
here's another kind of a duo side thing. Andy was yelling at Brian because he wasn't petting Loki enough. So if let's say there's four people at your game night playing War Machine, and a new player kind of wanders in and just quietly sits over at the corner, be willing to be the odd person out. Be willing to two of the veterans to call your game and then have one of you sit out and let the new player get the game in. If there's an odd number of players, one of the established players should be willing to sit out just to make sure the new players are getting games. And also, don't be afraid. I guarantee there's been people that have kind of wandered by and glanced at the game that's being played and just kind of quietly wandered away. Just ask, hey, you want to play a quick game? You don't have models? That's fine. I mean, I have plenty of them. We can play a game. You can have, here's a battle box. I'll take a battle box and we'll just play a mingled battle game for the hell of it using my minis so you can experience the game instead of just watching. Do a little demo.
The other thing that really helped when I was getting into it is I didn't own any of the models, so I used a little paper clip stuck onto bases and put the card in there. And that way I didn't have to make a financial investment, which I think would keep a lot of people away from it. So make sure you let them know that they can substitute models and whatnot.
If people don't mind playing smaller games, the getting in cost of this game isn't too bad. I mean, if you go all in, it's as expensive as any mini game, but your starting cost to just get dice, get just a small army and go is pretty cheap. The all in is expensive.
Battle box, tape measure, and three dice is technically all you need.
And you buy a unit, then you're good to go.
Buy a unit, a couple solos, maybe another unit. Eventually another caster.
Then suddenly $5,000 later you're in.
And then you need all the casters. And then you need all the mercenaries and minions for your faction, and then you might as well just pick up another faction, or you might as well just pick up more
mercenaries. Just pick up all the factions.
Well, like, here's the thing. I'm kind of in the reverse of that catch-22 because I'm thinking about, I keep thinking about dumping my mercs and getting back into Crix, and then I'm like, but I might as well keep the mercs that work for Crix, and I'm like, oh, well, then I'm just selling, like, four models. Because I'll keep all these pirates and all these steelheads and all this stuff, and what are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm twitting.
Stop twitting.
No.
So are you twitting at least Crippled Systems related stuff?
Yeah, he is. I'm twitting the pictures I just took.
Oh, okay.
How dumb are you?
I'm pretty dumb.
He was taking pictures of himself.
Sorry, I was actually podcasting while you wandered off and shit your pants.
That's a pretty good thing how to start a meta.
The other thing is when you're starting any kind of group, you can probably advertise at work a little bit. There's poster boards, and like I know Epic has like a specific website where people can get together and make groups, and I don't know what TDS has.
I don't want to see my coworkers out of work.
That's actually pretty good. I mean, who knows? You might have some coworkers that actually are very interested in what you play and may not realize it.
Well, the other
like
thing
board
is,
games, too.
Yeah, bear in mind, like, nerd hobbies tend to cluster. Like, we talk about stuff on this podcast that's not War Machine all the time. Spoiler alert for those of you that didn't already know that.
What?
I know.
We're always on topic.
But, you know, it's not actually shocking that we all enjoy, you know, board games, and we all enjoy War Machine, and we all enjoy Star Trek, and we all enjoy Archer, and we all enjoy, I don't know, Lost in Space?
you said all enjoy so many times, I started hearing Almond Joy.
Oh, yeah, that too. All enjoy Firefly, because it's the best show ever, ever made.
Almond Joy Firefly?
Yep. So, like, if you have a group of people that you get together to do something like, I don't know, play board games on Saturdays, mention it to them. If you have a group of people that you get together and watch Game of Thrones on Sundays, you know what? Those same people might be interested in War Machine also. If you know a group of people that like to rub glue all over their hands, apparently.
Shut up, you.
They might also be into War Machine.
Did you ever do that like in school? You'd put a layer of glue on your hands and you could peel it off and it was like, Katie knows what I'm talking about.
So apparently that is also something that
you'd gross out
common.
The girls and be like, ah, you're peeling your skin. You're like, yeah, but it was really just glue.
Did you eat it?
No, I didn't eat it.
Wow.
I was not a paste eater. I never knew my boogers either. I don't get that.
So anyway, like,
there was no tests for paste eating.
No. So it's time to move on.
Yeah.
It's 40, we're 46 minutes in.
Yeah.
We might want to go to our KKK section.
Quick. No, what?
Oh, KC. KK.
Katie's Corner.
At 46 minutes, we might want to just go to that.
Well, 10 minutes. These novelettes came out. None of us have read them. True story.
I'm going to read them next week.
Bodgermania came out, or is coming out, is out?
Is Bodgermania out? It's coming out 2 weeks next week.
It's a thing.
We demoed it. It was a quick.
It's as fun as Heap.
There you go. It is as fun as Heap.
That's my review of Bodgermania.
I don't know. I thought it was a pretty decent game for like a quick. You know, you're in between two large quick gaming sessions, or you're waiting for somebody to show up.
It is a quick 10 minutes beer and pretzel game. And there's nothing wrong with those existing. They need to exist. You know, you can't just hold that against it. Oh, it only takes 10 minutes and it's brainless. Well, true, but it only wants to take 10 minutes and be brainless.
Granted, it's actually probably easier when you're getting drunk because all it is numbers and colors.
Yes.
So
it's prejudice against the colorblind.
You too.
There's no way you're still tutoring. You've been typing for like an hour.
True.
Get swipe
There's
on that thing.
There's 140 characters. That's it.
Katie is putting squares next to each other. You're not. God damn it, Katie.
Isn't it Katie's Corner? Do Katie's
you
Corner.
You guys were talking about something that I didn't have any idea what it was about. So I was listening.
Yeah, right.
And playing my
Did we at least mention the novellas in there somewhere while I was tweeting?
Yeah.
We're going to read them this weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
And Convergence. There's been a lot of Convergence-related stuff.
Can I call it by its new name?
No.
No.
Because there's any podcast that can call it that,
That's the irony of it.
Yeah.
Is that we're above that.
Yes.
We're really not.
Convergence.
No, we're not. Well, you don't put of in the acronym.
Yeah, so it's just CC. It's like closed captioning.
Yeah.
Oh, but I like the other name.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I know you do.
That's the mojitos again, right?
It explains why Nathan's so excited about that faction.
Jeremy likes balls. But so I want to know what you guys think, because this is kind of a hot topic. I mean, yeah, servitors and blah, 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 and people can get spoilers about them. So that, whatever. But the pseudo-release schedule nature of it.
Oh, the thing that's like kind of a one-and-done-ish?
It's kind of a one-and-done-ish, and it's going to get occasional releases, but not on a regular schedule.
Honestly, it depends on how well balanced it is. If it's one-and-done, it's great. Awesome. If it's one-and-done, it's the quality of Gators, and it depends on what it is.
If it's one-and-done, post-Wrath, Rhett, good, great. If it's one-and-done, pre-Wrath, Rhett good, they have a problem.
The thing that's been in my head, you know, if you picture like the best possible like e-Gatsby list that's
right.
winning,
right.
does it have anything from the most recent book? Or the one before that?
It has a Seahag, which is pretty
yeah,
recent.
Seahag's like recent. 3 books ago, though. She's no, not she's
he,
not Colossals. She,
even then, he was still really
she's
crazy.
Not Colossals, and she's not Wrath. The Seahag's from like 3 books ago. And even without her, you can build a good list. It just the tough will be annoying. But
it does,
if you take
if
out
takes
the Seahag, it takes up a notch, to be fair. But you can go back 4 books and have a tournament winning.
But my point is, my
Hannigal is a Stormwall,
but,
so it's,
but
it's true.
But take a new faction. So Rhett is the best example of a new faction. You cannot play Rhett pre-Wrath. You lose Hulkans, you lose Discordia,
true.
You lose the Banshee.
Right.
Like, you just can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that both are possibilities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can, there are, it depends on how
but,
it comes
but
out.
Crick, but it's different, because Crick's had all of Mark 1 to kind of figure out what they wanted to make early release Mark 2.
Right, yes. So I guess I'm not making my point. You can do this with any faction. You can take any faction, pick 5 of their casters, 6 of their heavies, 6 of their lights, 5 units, and a dozen solos.
Oh, and be amazing.
And be amazing.
Sure.
You can do that. And so it depends on how good of a job Privateer Press did designing that subset for
and
Convergence.
I this is just my personal opinion. My gut feeling is that it won't be that good. Like, I'm not saying it will be bad. I'm saying it won't be that amazing as if you had done that, because if there's some new mechanics at play with Convergence. There's the benefit of they're not living, which is there's a lot of game benefits to that in this game. And so I think, if anything, Privateer Press will be careful and err on the side of caution, because you can always add things, but they don't take things away. I happen to like that about Privateer Press as a game maker, but they don't take things away. Like, I know people talk about, oh, they ratted Lich 3 times, which they did, but you know what? They were really gentle.
Yeah.
With the Lich.
They ratted Sorsha pretty hardcore.
I thought that was the Mark 1, Mark 2
change.
It was
Mark 1 they ratted.
It was Mark 1. They ratted her 3 times in
Mark
1, and then it stuck around in Mark 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So in Mark 2, at least, they've been really, really careful about errating things. And I like that about them, because I don't have to worry about, oh, I have this great thing, and then you're going to errata it, and oh, now it's terrible. Like, I really like that I don't have to worry about that. But because that's the way they are as a game maker, my gut feeling is the Convergence will come out, and they will be playable but not amazing, because if they tried to make them amazing, their concern would be that somebody somewhere will make them broken as all hell, and they don't want to have to ban things.
Yeah.
That first caster, though, has been a pretty good release of possibilities. And so
oh, yeah.
So far, his spoilership has been pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, and not just Axis, but the Servitors all look good.
Yep. Yep.
Axis looks good. 8 Focus and your entire battle group is Arc Nodes is
seems
pretty good.
My concern, actually, and I said this to somebody.
No that, reach slow jacks, however.
Yeah,
is a
I think no one will play. So there's what? There's the 2 different heavy chassis and the light chassis.
Yeah.
And one of the heavy chassis has Pathfinder all the time speed 5, and one has no Pathfinder speed 4. I think that means half of their heavy jacks no one will play.
Well, if their nade ability is speed 4, no Pathfinder, that's fine if their casters have things like,
I agree,
you know, whatever.
But
speed 4s might be their big guns, too.
Well, and they probably will be, but like speed 4, when you're in a faction that has access to speed 5, speed 4 is I mean, because the thing is, anything that would make them better, outside of just strictly giving Pathfinder, anything that would make that speed 4 jack faster also makes that speed 5 Pathfinder jack faster.
It depends. If those speed 4s are massive heavy hitters, making them faster, their heavy hitters hitting faster, whereas the flip side, the speed 5s, you would need to make them hit harder. You know what I mean? So it depends on what the buff's doing.
It does. It does. But, like, that's just my gut feeling. Is
yeah,
that
no, that's...
There's a definite possibility of half their heavies being just not super playable compared to the other half.
Reach is the best ability for a heavy to have, and Pathfinder is the second best ability for a heavy to have. So
yep.
Having neither sure hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out when the book's released.
It's exciting, though, to have
it
all
is
this
super exciting. I mean, I am stoked to see what that faction has.
I'm excited because I was planning to invest, like, you know, heavily and get a, you know, big thing. And it's kind of nice to know that then I'll just have a complete
Convergence
army. Like, I'll just be done with them then. That's kind of cool.
And I mean, I've been telling Katie I wanted to get a new faction, and she's super on board with that. So maybe I'll pick up the look I'm getting says no, I probably
won't buy
my
Scorn.
Why would you sell your Scorn?
Oh, I mentioned this yesterday in our pseudo thing. Jordan is borrowing my Scorn for Adepticon.
True.
I won a contest to see how many of the flags in my models he breaks and how many times I punch him in the face. Because
I want to see how hard it is. Like, people talk about Scorn being really good right now. I am interested to see just how bad Jordan gets his ass beat trying to play a faction he's had for 2 weeks.
He's taking he went down to Monday night tonight to do some practice.
No, he said he wasn't going to tonight. He's going to have exactly 2 weeks of practice.
As long as we're mentioning things that you mentioned yesterday, turns out that if you take a giant rat and just riddle it with steroids, it makes it the most adorable animal I've ever seen in my life.
No, it is still a rat.
We tweeted it. Did you look at it on the Twitter?
It
was adorable. It looked like a ferret with an afro.
It's a ferret.
It's a ferret with an afro. It looked so cute.
You know what ferrets do? They poop and bite.
Well, they poop. Jeremy does. You know what doesn't bite? Rats.
So Richard Moore on our Twitter
feed had the best
comment
about that picture.
When I moved
to my new place, I'm
probably
going to get some more rats because I had pet rats before.
Radicate, I choose you.
I don't like rats.
That was fantastic.
You've never met one in a social environment. You've only heard about the evil sewer rats.
No, I have more than heard about them.
Rodents of unusual size?
Wild sewer rats is one thing. That's like saying I don't like wiener dogs because my cousin was mauled to death by a wolf. Like, those aren't the same animal.
Who doesn't like wiener dogs?
People who are close-minded and wrong.
I don't like them because they're
gross.
No, they're not gross. They're the cleanest of all rodents.
Wiener dogs because my mom was mauled to death by a wolf.
Who? What?
He said he doesn't like wiener dogs because his mom was mauled to death by a wolf.
Well, if your mom was mauled to death by wiener dogs, that would be amazing. Because I've heard of wiener dogs.
Jeremy loves wieners.
That's not true.
Wiener dogs are probably one of the meanest dogs out there as well.
They're a hunting
You know what they're bred for, right?
Badger hunting.
They hunt badgers.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
They are so cute, but they hunt badgers.
My friend Mary's
brother. You ever met a nice badger?
Has two little mini wiener dogs, and they are so cute. They pee everywhere, but
yeah, that's adorable.
Well, wait a second. So now you're bad mouthing rats because they pee and stuff, and like, but it's okay for wiener dogs to be cute and pee everywhere?
No, I don't have to clean up their pee.
You wouldn't have to clean up the rats' pee either.
They clean up.
You can litter box train rats and
wiener
and
dogs.
Ferrets.
See, I asked when I was in high school about that, and the guy was like, yeah, you can litter train them, but it never works. That's what he said.
Not from the research I've
rats
I've
are
seen.
Smarter than and more trainable than dogs.
Yeah, they're
can
actually
learn their own name. Anything a dog can do, a rat can do. Learn their name. Yeah.
Can turn the light on?
Yeah.
Because our dog can
read
it
online.
If they can reach it.
Yeah.
You can read it online.
Wiki.com/rats.
I have had several pet rats, and they were adorable and loving. I had one that had three legs. We named it Long John Silver's.
That's your new nickname.
That's my new nickname.
I will withhold judgment on rats until I see your rat, and then I will hate them.
Okay. That sounds so fair.
Fair and balanced. That's us.
We'll have Glenn buy a rat and bring one over.
As long as you're being close-minded and hateful, do you want to be on the receiving end of closed-minded hatefulness and do your corner?
Sure.
Is it about Travis?
Jim's not here.
I missed Loki in the picture.
Hey, you missed Loki in the picture, but he also didn't mention that Loki's lasers are starting.
Yeah, I did not.
He's charging up his lasers.
It took me long enough to tweet already that I got in trouble.
Seriously, how does it take 5 fucking minutes to type 140 characters?
I sent 2, technically 3 tweets.
Okay, that's still like 3 minutes per tweet.
You know,
he did.
Were you like
tweet like 5
I could do
pictures.
140 characters of cuneiform in the amount of time it took you to tweet that.
What's cuneiform?
Egyptian.
It's not Egyptian.
Yes.
It's Mesopotamia.
Okay, Mesopotamia. Whatever.
It's one. Chiseling stuff into clay.
Yes.
All right.
So your corner.
So that's a good picture of Nathan.
Do your corner.
So what I want to talk about is when
as Nathan goes to see the picture.
Talk!
When you have a plan. You know what? I don't even know why I'm here.
To tell your corner. Interesting. We love you.
When you have
that's the greatest picture of me I've ever seen.
That's a pretty
that's good one, John.
Even better than one on her iPad?
Yeah. You mean the 300 on her iPad?
No, this last time was only 70. That's how I know it was Nathan.
Oh, my God. Do your fucking corner.
No. Okay. Let's say you have a plan. You've got a really good plan, but you need fucking A, B, and C to happen.
So far, it's Jeremy and Nathan that are going into the corner next.
Brian just, like, he's poking the bear, too.
I'm just sitting here.
You're not just sitting
there. Staring at the timer.
Yeah, okay.
So you have a fucking A, B, and C.
Who's in the middle?
First of all, you don't know that A is going to happen. You don't know that B is going to happen. And if those do happen, then you hope C is going to happen. But what you want to do is you want to make sure that C is the one that involves your caster and that you keep him safe all the way up until that point, until you made sure that your first two necessities have gone through. Because what can happen is you're like, well, it doesn't really matter which order I do them in for whatever reason, which it doesn't make sense. But if you move your caster up first and part of your plan fails, well, then your caster's just kind of like sitting out there in the wind, caster kill. But then I wanted to open it up to you guys. Let's say that I had a plan and A went really well and B did not go so well. And now I can't kill your army the way that I intended to. Like, the best way to, I guess, react to that is to sit back for a minute and say, well, that sucked. So how do I make the most out of it? What else can I do?
How can you recover?
How can I recover? As opposed to just, like, plowing through with your original plan, even though a piece that you know you needed to happen didn't happen. Like, you shouldn't keep going. No, Brian, you're not allowed to talk.
Number one, don't let your opponent know that that happened.
Yes, that's yes. true.
Yeah,
that's
very true. Yeah. Sometimes you'll make a mistake or something won't work right, but your opponent doesn't know what you're doing. So you're like, oh crap, my plan didn't work. And now he's like, what plan? Now suddenly, now his gears are going to try to interpret what you were setting up.
Also, one thing to do, and this hypothetically you could constantly doing, but you should definitely do it when something goes wrong, is so if you've got your plan, you've got your turn all sequenced out, and you're going to do things A, B, C, D, and E. Okay, and you've got the order, and that's the right order. D needs to happen before E, and C needs to happen before D, and so on. And then plan C fucks up, or step C, you're no longer on step D. You are now on step A again. You need to hard reset and look at, now let's pretend I just started my turn. This is a fresh new turn, except this turn, for whatever reason, I'm not allowed to activate these two models, this unit, and this other guy over here. Just whatever. What am I doing this turn now? Like, with a hard reset. And that way, you're not invested anymore in what just went wrong, and you need to see how you can do the most you can do with your current situation.
Right. Well, because so many times I've seen, including myself, throw good models after bad plan.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, is that, like, your plan, your step D hinged upon what step C was. So if C failed, you need to no longer just blindly continue to D and E. You need to reset to A. Fuck is wrong with you? Okay, Brian, do whatever it is that you're raising your hand for.
She didn't let me talk. I'm trying to get permission.
I'm giving you permission to talk.
All right, thank you.
Wow.
Well, this is Katie's corner.
So you're outranking Katie in her own corner.
This is not Nathan's corner.
Now you're going.
I'm putting my head on the line for you. You make this good, boy.
First of all, that was very good advice. I'm going to suck up for that.
Yeah.
Secondly, when you're doing like your A through D plan, a lot of times my A and B is more defensive. Let's say I have a Menoth army in front of me, and there's an Avatar to the left, and I want to kill everything to the right. For whatever reason, I can't get to the Avatar. So I need to plan ahead. Okay, I need to end where that Avatar just can't crush my army. So the first thing I'm going to do is plan A, is I'm going to shoot with a pistol wraith twice. And if I hit it twice, then I'm going to death chill it. Now I've eliminated the most dangerous thing on my opponent's side, and then I move forward. And then if that fails, then kind of like Nathan said, now I'm going to reset my plan. Now I have to factor in that Avatar, because I have no longer negated it, and now I'm going to advance at the enemy a different strategy.
And that's actually phenomenal, and I want to stress that by doing it the reverse way. Pretend instead of, so the pistol wraith, let's say, just has a 90% chance of hitting this Avatar the three times needed to death chill it, and then by doing so he's safe of the Avatar. If he like Brian's saying, he does that first, because if the rest of your turn goes off great and they're like, well, here goes my 90% chance, snakes. And now you have a fully functional Avatar that you thought was going to be shut down, and there's your caster 8 inches away from it because that thing was supposed to be death chilled, and now you're fucked. But if you do that defensive one first, then when it fails, you now have to start with a new plan A, which is going to be a different way to maintain that Avatar. Or it's going to be a different plan entirely with the knowledge of a fully functioning Avatar. If you save that defensive thing to plan E and then it's fucked, the only things you can fix are F through G. You can no longer fix A through E.
Yeah, basically, gauging your priorities is probably the biggest thing.
Yep.
Trying to look at the biggest threats on the field. If you have a plan for that threat, do that first. And then if that fails, then back that one up.
Because that also piggybacks into the whole piece trading, where you're trading pieces for back and forth, and just eliminate what they can do the most damage against you. Like when you beat Ben last week, you kept your Warp Wolf safe. That was part of your plan. You know, kill things, get that Stalker out of the way of his only thing that could kill you, out of his Galleon's way, to keep that threat alive. So that was just, you know, you kind of evaluate what's going on. It's you're literally looking at your offensive, defensive mechanisms, constantly having to reset your plans based on what happens. But you do want to start your turn with an AB. You want to have that A through whatever, because right. you want to kind of because with buffs, especially certain armies that buff each other and certain armies that rely on effects. I mean, you have teleporting stones. You need to know what's going to teleport, what to where, what's going to activate, what animus is to cast. I mean, so that's very important to do. But knowing when to be like, okay, I'm out, new plan, is so critical.
Yeah, well, which hypothetically could be even when it's being successful. Like, I think the top level of any strategic game, not just War Machine, at every moment you should be able to just be reevaluating the current game state. And it's easy to forget to do that. And you're like, I have planned through. It's almost like mentally, you start your turn, you write down what every unit's going to do, and then you go through that list regardless of what happens on the table, because that's what the list is.
So it's like Ehaley Suite then?
Right. To yourself. You know, like, you're like, okay, these, I have 10 things on the table. I'm going to activate them in the order, and they're going to do this because this is what my plan is. And then when it goes awry halfway through, you're like, well, whatever. What's the next thing on the list? Check, check, check. You don't erase and rewrite the list. And you need to be comfortable with knowing when to erase the rest of that list and rewrite it, and be cognizant of when it's the correct time to do that.
Yes. But I think that Brian brought up another good point, is threat assessment, which I am personally just terrible at because I don't know the models that well. But I am constantly choosing the wrong thing that is the most threatening to my army. So it really helps when somebody comes up and goes, that's scary. And you're like, good. Right. Now I know.
Good to know.
Like the other time when we were playing in Anastasia, I had no idea what she did, and she was just like hanging out by my army. And
oh, God. Like, just a little girl, just doing nothing.
A little girl, God. Doing nothing. Well, because you get to the point, like, or I've gotten to the point where I don't know what anything does, and so I don't start to ask what it does until it seems like it's within threat range, because if you tell me what your whole army does at the beginning of the game, I'm not going to remember.
Right. And I try to, you know, not just in, depending on the tournament, and I'll do it in tournament games as well. Like, I literally have had a tournament game where I've sat down across my opponent, they hadn't seen a lot of mercs, and I'm like, you see this little girl over here with the 9 zombies? She's going to kill your caster. The rest of my army's not gonna. She's going to charge and kill your caster. Just heads up. You know, because he didn't know what Poexia does. He didn't know to be cognizant of. And I normally won't necessarily do that in tournament games that openly, but I...
Best in 5-point solo games, in the game, by the way.
In casual... Well, she's a unit.
No, she's the best 5-point solo that has these guys that follow her around and
sure.
die.
But in casual games, at least, like, I honestly thought you knew Anastasia. But, like, in casual games, I will literally just say, number one, I'll say, is there anything in this list that you don't recognize? I do that every single game. That I do, though, even in tournament games. Because, again, as a Merc player, people don't know all these things. We got so much random crap. So I'll say, is there anything in this list you don't recognize? And if you went through and, like, I don't know that, I'd go, oh, one of the things you pointed out is Anastasia. Let me tell you a story about intrigue. Or espionage. Like, let me tell you this, because you should be scared. And people need to, like, against new players, you need to be cognizant. Just don't be afraid to just tell them. Yeah. You know, whether it's new player versus new player, old player versus new player, even whatever, just, like, say, oh, you know, heads up, this thing's really fucking scary. Or heads up, with this list, Malak Karn can go 23 inches.
Yeah. And then, yeah, exactly.
Well, it's
money's not on the line.
My responsibility, too.
It is
like,
your responsibility to
go through War Room, read entire faction stuff. I mean, I have all the books. Sometimes I'll sit down and I'm just going to read the Signar book today.
I actually learned a lot doing that.
But, like, if you and I sit down to a game and well, I mean, I guess, yes, you do to learn something. But if you and I sit down to a game and I – and you just, like, move up your caster and then I Malak Karn slingshot and kill your caster on the bottom of turn two, okay, that game wasn't really useful. Well, neither of us got the information or experience out of that we need to. I mean, yes, you learned the hard lesson that holy shit, Biothrall's purge. Like, you know that now.
I do.
You sure as hell can pick a Biothrall out of a lineup because Brian taught you what Biothralls do. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess to me, when you're playing games specifically to learn stuff.
Well, but what we did with that game is Brian killed me with his Biothralls, and I said, all right, well, let's play again.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And that way, like, I learned that hard lesson, and now I can also learn other things in the game.
And sometimes we'll stop, rewind that move, and then play the game again, because, you know.
And then Katie will kill Nate's caster a second time.
Well,
that is
know,
true.
You have to remember to run that one little unit guy.
God damn.
With your ABCD plan, too, it's always important. Sometimes your caster goes first, and it doesn't work. But sometimes you need that, like, plan Z. Okay, I just did plans A through X, or A through Y. everything just failed. Like, every plan I had failed. What's my Hail Mary? Can I run my caster at them? Do I have to run away? I mean, what's my, like, absolute worst case? Like, yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have that in our head, but you have to, I mean, the back of your mind always has to have, okay, worst case scenario, how far away can I run? You know, right. Where's the edge of the kill box? Or am I so screwed I'm going to full camp run next to the caster? And sometimes that just scares the shit out of somebody. But, you know, you just kind of have that wild card moment where you're just, like, you know, ready to blow up the van. And just,
right. One thing that I'll also put out is, and this is probably just Red experience talking, especially for an assassination. If you're going to go for something like a caster assassination, at the end of the day, it's not 100% chance. There are very few 100% chance kills on casters. There just aren't. And if you've got 100% kill,
you're going to kill him.
You'll probably kill him. But yeah, like, just in general, there aren't. So what you want to do is, if you can, front load the stuff that is non-redundant and or low percentage chances. Mm-hmm. So you can't always do that, sure. But if it's a 7-step plan and you know that 6 of those things have like an 85% chance to succeed and 3 of them are redundant, and then there's this one thing that's got a 50-50 coin flip, that sure as hell should be piece A, unless it cannot be.
Right.
That should be the first thing you do. And if it goes wrong, and you know because you already thought through the math that you really needed that to happen, guess what? You're not assassinating a caster anymore.
Unless, flip side, if one of those 99% plan things is 100% mandatory, like the Pistol Wraith Death Chill,
yes.
You should do it first.
Yes.
Like, the mandatory must happen or else I'm fucked.
Yes.
You should do first, because that way if they fail, you can
reset.
What
I'm talking about is a caster assassination.
Yeah,
so this
well, yeah,
is a slightly
yeah.
different picture, but yeah.
Well, but even still, because even your caster assassination, there should be a plan for what happens when it fails.
Yes.
And that should be protecting yourself against the repercussions.
Yep.
Yes. So that's actually exactly what I'm talking about. Like, if you're going whole hog in, but if this thing fails, how do I not instantly lose in return?
Yeah.
If there's things that exist for that, I mean, you want to probably do those first.
I would agree.
Sometimes there's points in the game, too, where there's no other plan than, I got to throw this at, you know.
Yeah.
I got to throw the half-court shot to try to get this to win.
Yeah, and that happens.
And yeah.
Obviously, you want to avoid that possibility if you can. But
yeah, exactly. Exactly. But
yeah, and don't along the lines of, you know, nothing's 100%, is you need to keep that in mind as well, because you can't just 100, you can't rely on things being for sure happening.
You can snake eyes any role.
There is a 1 in 6 chance. 1 in 6. That is a high odds chance that your Command 9 Kiazi fail their command check when they charge a terrifying unit.
Yep.
1 in 6, it's going to happen. How many times do they do that? How many games do you do that? That's probably happening in every other game. You know what I mean? You need to be aware that these things aren't gimmies, so you have to plan redundancy and you have to plan safety before these things.
Yep.
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 Can you give an example of redundancy?
Well, like you know, if your Kaiazi are going to be running away, of having a model that can grant them fearless or something like that in your army, so to prevent that from occurring.
Or here's one, because that, I mean, like, hypothetically, that you should be doing anyway if you have the opportunity.
Exactly.
But here's one. Like, let's say I'm going to go and try to melee assassinate your caster with my caster, but I also have a couple random guns that are going to be dice minus 10, if whatever, you know, probably aren't going to hurt you. So you might think not to bother, like, because they probably aren't even going to do anything. Shoot with them first. Maybe you'll get 1 or 2 points of damage and then kill to the point. Because if you go with the melee first and fail, now they're +4 defense. Now that extra little point or two for an emergency is no longer an option. So that's why I always, like, if I'm ever going to shoot something or magic something, I make sure I look around. Like, if I'm going to melee something, I should say it the other way. If I'm going to melee something, I look around and, like, do I have any random gun that for shits and giggles can shoot it first, maybe get an extra point or two on it?
Yeah. Because after you're in melee, boy, is that terrible.
Yep. Going after a jack, going after a catch, or going after anything that's hard to kill, if I can just plink a random hand cannon at it, just look for those before you get into melee.
And with Bane's, like, it's not only redundancy, but let's say someone left a jack up, and I'm going to charge it with a bunch of Bane Thralls, Bane Knights. Bane Thralls obviously go first because they don't have reach. They have to get within a half an inch. So they go in and they surround the model, then my Bane Knights go second, then they, none of them are base to base, but they have reach. They're the second wave of models.
Right.
And
plus,
that
way, even if they're going on the same target, obviously you plan that, but if your Bane if you were planning to charge thing A with Bane Knights and thing B with Bane Thralls, do the Bane Thralls first, because if they fail, maybe one of those Bane Knights can peel off for an extra piece of damage.
Ignoring the reason you made those for the armor debuff. But
ignoring that. If you have a
non-reach, go first and have the reach go in second.
Yeah, as a backup.
Especially with the Crics there, too, because both of them will benefit from Dark Shroud.
Yeah, of course. But even with non-Crics things, even without the Dark Shroud.
Like, Kaiazi Assassin go first, the Pikeman go second.
Yes.
Correct.
And it's not just reach, non-reach. When you're making your plan, most good plans don't say, I'm going to kill this heavy with this one thing. Okay, what's the rest of my list doing? It's plan A is kill it with this. Plan B is finish it with this. Plan C is really, no, seriously, finish it off with this. And then if you kill it with thing A, excellent. B and C get to do bonus damage now.
Right.
And that's where the threat assessment you were talking about comes in, is you want to have some idea what you need to kill as opposed to, oh, I just want to kill everything in the world.
Well, and specifically then also, if it's plan A, you know, B, C, and B, if A kills it alone, B and C get to do bonus, make sure you're doing A first.
Yep.
Because if the other two are the ones that are bonus. That's why, like, again, specifically with the Bane Thrall and Bane Knights, if you have the Bane Knights go after a target and they fail to kill it, those Bane Thralls aren't going to now help them because they can't get in there. But if the Bane Thralls fail to kill, the Bane Knights can help in addition. You know, and again, with that specific example, but I'm sure there's things in Circle you can think of where that's the case. Yeah. Or again, with my thing talking about ranged, if you have, you know, druids or whatever, and a couple of them can just put random force bolts in case your stalker fails to kill something, just get the extra damage. Because once it's in melee, it stops being an option.
And druids are a great plan A because they're dragging, pushing, maybe knocking things down. So they're obviously in early phase. But then nothing. Their hits fail. They don't push. They don't drag. Now maybe you have to teleport a model in, or can I Lord of the Feast something in and just clear a hole? Yeah. He's an early phase. He's an early piece. Plan.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain pieces that are just really good for that sort of thing. Like Mage Hunter Assassins and Rhett are, I charge in. I stay 4 inches away from you. Even if I do nothing, I'm not engaging you in melee. I'm not even in my other model's charge lane way because I'm a billion miles away from the model because of my 4-inch reach during activation. Excellent. I've lost nothing except for my assassin happened to miss because he's a Mage Hunter assassin. They always effing miss. But
or flip side, I would almost think, I mean, it depends on the situation, but I almost think that it would be better in a lot of situations to save the Mage Hunter assassin for a second thing because, like, all right, my plan is for this Phoenix to go over here and wreck this thing and whatever, and then my Mage Hunter Assassin is going to charge this model over here. That way you have the flexibility. If the Phoenix fails, the Mage Hunter Assassin can come in and finish it off. Like, I guess what I'm saying, you need to prioritize what things must happen and try them first, because then the things that it would be nice if it did happen, you can say, never mind, that's not happening this turn.
Right.
Let's take the things that were allocated for that and put them into the must happen.
And I think about paying your bills.
You know what I mean? It's like, I need to pay my electrical bill, and it'll be nice to go to the movies, and then something happens, you can no longer afford to go to the movies. If you already paid for the movies, now you're just fucked on your electrical bill.
Yep.
You need to try that mandatory thing first, and then you have that money when you need it, and then you just put off of movies.
Yeah.
You know,
speaking of electric bill.
Right. Speaking of electrical bill.
And I think that is, you were saying the threat assessment thing, and I think we could probably do an entire podcast about threat assessment, quite frankly. Yes, I see Raticate.
He's adorable. That is the cutest giant rat hopped up on steroids I've ever seen in my life.
It's something.
The phrase riddled with steroids and giant rat rarely equates to adorable, cuddly thing, but that's like the cutest thing ever.
But yeah,
he'll kill you in your sleep, but he'll do adorably.
He looks like the dog on the Caesar cans. You know, Caesar, a little dog food for yappy dogs? He looks like that dog. He looks like a Bichon Frise.
So anyway, I think threat assessment feeds in with this topic very well, but obviously we don't have time to do it tonight. But anyway, just saying.
Yeah. So I guess the summary of my stance was know when to hard reset and have plan D become a new plan A.
You might say know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Right.
Oh. Fuck you. No, walk away.
All of his advice.
Way to ruin everything.
Hey, nothing's wrong with some of that guy.
I know.
I didn't say there's nothing wrong with Kenny Rogers.
Nothing wrong with Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers, yes.
He's a musician and a quarterback.
All right. Well, that's successful.
And a photo bomber.
He is a photo bomber. I do love that. Like, before he had a big, like, somebody was like, hey, look at every team captain picture ever.
Even now.
Yeah, well, even now, but,
he still does it.
But, like, people noticed when he was still kind of a nobody, like, on the team. People were like, "What? Who is that asshat in the background of every single team captain photo they've ever taken?" He does love photo bombing.
That's pretty awesome. Okay.
Did you feel that we answered your corner well, Katie?
Yeah.
Well, then on to recommendations.
Sweet.
Recommendations.
One of you was all like super excited about recommendations.
I have one.
Shay. What do you have?
But I have one every week. Brian's the one that never has
Andy
one.
Andy always never has one. And then
no.
It's like
no,
pulling.
I come up with one.
I collated all of the ones that we've done ever. And Brian has had the least. And you've had the most
fewest.
By almost double. because you do almost you do two almost every week.
This week I'm actually going to do three.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm doing one. I'm doing one vague
did
you nebulous
count the
one.
Beer one that you...
I did not count the beer
yeah,
one.
Snuck
that was
that
a
one
bonus
in.
One. I sneak them in sometimes in the back.
But yeah,
door.
Like I literally I made an Excel that had all the recommendations to make each episode, and like the Brian column has all these empty needs, and then your column is three times the width of everyone else because it's like recommendation one, recommendation two, recommendation three.
You
it's,
should
it's
you
a
should
quality
post
of the recommendation
that
counts,
not
the size.
You should post that. And we can
I'm
ourselves
going to
as best we can.
No, I'm totally also, I'm totally so going to put a thread on it just so people can mock us for our recommendations.
No, and people can do it'd be like one of those things they put on Facebook, like 100 things you need to do. How many of these have you done? Like and share. Twoop, twoop.
Yeah, no, I'm going to put it on there.
We forgot to bring up our contest.
Oh, Katie.
We still can.
No,
yes.
I thought we were going to do that next week. We can do that next week.
Okay. That's fine.
Contest coming next week.
Give us more time to prepare.
Spoiler alert, there will be a contest.
We have one other contest quickly to do, though.
What's
involves
that?
A special guest.
Well, let's do that at the end.
Okay, that'll be at the end.
Okay.
But I do want to say, if you're listening, whatever.
There will be a contest after recommendations.
All right, well, let's do this then.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We want to feel good about, validate our existence. If you're listening to this and you haven't done both of those, please do both of those.
We need to make sure we're cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Like, we know we're awesome.
But we want to quantify it.
We want the world to see just how awesome.
We want to quantify it.
Well, like, we get 6,000 downloads and only 100 people like us.
Jeremy's ego needs thumping.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but hashtag blame it on Jeremy. It's going to be a thing.
It is, yeah.
It's already on there. See?
I know.
It's very popular with hashtag blame it on the Jews. For some reason, those two are very similar.
Wow.
Is that off of Mel Gibson's podcast?
Yeah, sugar tits. That's my Mel Gibson impression, apparently.
All right,
I'm going to start with my recommendation,
okay,
which is... it's experience a classic. The classics are out there for a reason. Open yourself up to one of them. Don't be closed minded. Go,
classic
it's dumb
Coke?
Old shit.
Classic Coke.
The missionary
classic
position.
Coke. Yeah, missionary position. The Mission. That's a good movie. The Mission with Robert De Niro. But no,
books.
Like
movies.
My example, anything. And so I have my sub examples. Movie. Casablanca.
Yes.
It's a classic for a reason.
Yes, I saw it for the first time like 4 years ago. Yeah. I was like amazed. Like, this movie is copied from everything else I've ever seen.
Right.
Yep.
I was like, I couldn't believe how many things are from that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or like another movie, like, you know, I visited my dad and I needed to leave to come back up here and a 3 hour long movie started and I still sat there for like 2/3 of the movie the whole time being like, I should be leaving, but this movie's amazing. Like, Lawrence of Arabia, phenomenal movie. Like, these movies are legitimately good.
Does
There's
Zulu
a reason.
Count? Because that's amazing.
Zulu's a great movie. Huh. Like, watch a classic movie or read a classic book.
Yep.
I love the book Frankenstein. It's an amazing, amazing book, and it's not just about a lumbering monster going, fire bad. It's
but
a really interesting treatise.
But no Moby Dick. That's terrible.
Moby Dick is kind of boring. But still, read it. I mean, why not? Maybe you'll love it. There's a reason these things are around. Or I almost feel bad because to me this seems more contemporary, but it is like 50 years old. The
Fast
White Album by the Beatles.
Mm.
Listen to it.
I just heard
fucking amazing.
I just heard top 10 worst things about John Lennon today. How he was like beat his wife and he hated it. He was mean to his kids.
You know what? Yoko Ono deserves to be beaten.
Wow.
If John Lennon beat the living shit out of Yoko Ono, he's my hero now. God, she's awful. Fucking A.
Wow.
I didn't expect us to go there.
No,
she killed the Beatles.
Wow.
She killed the Beatles, that talentless whore. Anyway,
tell us how you really feel.
Watch a classic movie. Read a classic book. Listen to some music that people have all said are amazing and you've just closed out of your mind. Like, they're probably validly
like Twilight?
No,
no,
not Twilight.
Not like Twilight.
Not like Twilight.
Well, thanks, Mensa.
You're welcome. It doesn't take Mensa caliber IQ to know that Twilight's awful. Here's something that should never be a plot point in your story. I am going to magically stop aging so I can fuck your baby. That should not be a plot point in your story.
Well, I don't know if there's a plot
point. It's a resolution to the main driving love triangle of the entire series. Is Werewolf Boy magically stops aging so he can fuck a baby?
Well, she won't be a baby at the time.
Right, because he's looking at the baby and like, man, I'm not allowed to fuck you right now because you're a baby, but I can stop aging and just creepily wait.
Mm-hmm. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's romantic.
Yeah. Okay. Tell you what. When you guys have a baby, I'm going to look at the baby. Like, you're going to look at a baby. I'm going to hold and go, man,
I'm fuck that
I can't wait to fuck the shit out of you, baby. Oh, God. You're going to be so good in bed. And we'll see how much you approve of me doing that.
I hope we have a son.
I'm still going to do it.
I want it on tape, though.
That's
I'll
right.
I'll record it. I'll sit through it.
I'm just saying, we'll see how okay you are with it when I do that.
It'll be romantic.
Yeah.
I can light a candle.
I'll do it in my Edward G. Robinson voice. Nah, I'm going to fuck you, see? Nah.
But then I need you to have a little mustache.
I will.
Okay.
He didn't, what?
I don't know.
Who Edward G. Robinson is?
I know who that voice is, and I think
she's thinking of Hitler. That's not Hitler.
That's how Hitler talked. Nah, I hate the French, see? Nah.
What?
Wow.
That's because they wouldn't let him in art school.
I hereby vow to reveal the Treaty of Versailles. Nah, see? Nah. Anyway, that's my recommendation.
Anyone else, please cut him off.
Oh, my God.
Please.
I thought you had two more.
No, the one recommendation was expose yourself to a classic. And the sub-recommendations, yes, I used the word expose, genitals. The sub-classics were Lawrence of Arabia, Casablanca, Frankenstein, whatever, anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Shut up. Do your fucking recommendation then if you're going to be all smug about it.
I forgot what it was.
Oh, how fascinating. Somebody else?
All right. I'll go ahead. So my recommendation is going to be an actress / super old movie that she was in. So the actress, and Brian's recently seen a show that had her on it, is Moira Kelly.
Yum.
Ah, Moira Kelly. So she's done some amazing things, which include being on the movie recommendation I'm going to make is a movie called The Cutting Edge, which...
Toe pick.
I know it's a movie about figure skating, and so like all the guys listening to our podcast just changed their minds about watching it. But it's amazing.
It's an 80s movie about anything. So it's great.
Anything, so it's amazing.
And it's got Moira Kelly in the
It has Moira Kelly
in the
thin
figure skater outfits.
Oh, God. So she's
Why
been
do
in
I
that.
I hate all of the movies that you guys like.
I don't like that movie.
That movie.
You don't like Speed Racer?
Well, no, I like Speed Racer, but like any of the chick flick movies. That you guys, like,
I don't know. I don't know that I would define that as
Love Actually.
Love Actually is amazing.
Like Mean Girls. High five for Mean Girls.
Well, that's not really a love movie.
All right, so anyway,
of the four guys here have seen Love Actually? Only one person hasn't seen Love Actually.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it, but
it's amazing.
Dread is a perfect chick flick.
I've never seen it, so I cannot comment.
Anyway, let me finish with Moira Kelly. She was in that. She was in The West Wing, which is an amazing TV show that we recommended previously. She was in a show called One Tree Hill, which if you like things that pretend they're not soap operas but totally are, it was amazing.
If you're a fan of things that suck, you should check out One Tree Hill.
It was amazing. And also, you may not know this, she was Nala's voice on The Lion King. She's amazing. Truly amazing.
No, that's Gem is truly amazing. Truly, truly, truly amazing.
So anyway, Moira Kelly and, incidentally, the movie The Cutting Edge. Amazing.
Toe pick.
I started to
mock you for that movie, then I realized what it was.
Then you realized it was amazing?
I couldn't mock it anymore. I actually like that movie.
That's because it's amazing. All right, that's my recommendation.
Every movie from the 80s is amazing.
Also true.
Continuing anti-Wittershins, up next is Andy, who's just looking at pictures of Gem
and the
on the holograms on the internet. Wow. So Andy's going to recommend Gem. So
No. Oh, my recommendation is Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Nice.
We talked about that.
We didn't really recommend it.
I know. I was just saying we talked about
it. And if I would also recommend getting into it as soon as possible, because all those promo cards, which are really cool with the game, go away pretty quick. Wait, hold on. Now that I'm thinking about it. Yep, I forgot that they're actually going to reprint them all.
Well, there's two types of things that Kickstarter does. Kickstarter has the Kickstarter exclusive, which cannot, by Kickstarter policy, be given out. But Sentinels does a very good thing, is they only do a couple Kickstarter exclusive, and they do a ton of promos. So those are easier to give. You still have to wait a while for the reprints, but, you know.
But it is a great game. To quickly go over what it is, because... We didn't really kind of
didn't
explain
really go into
it
details,
at
no.
all. You play a group of superheroes battling a supervillain. The game comes with different supervillains, different superheroes, and different environments.
It's cooperative. I mean, that's gleanable, but I want to make that explicit. It's cooperative.
So you just basically play against a deck that's in the center of the table that plays out cards. There's different environments, so the environment sometimes happens, causes things to go haywire.
We played a lot of co-op games on Saturday.
We did.
We played Sentinels, we played Zombicide, we played D-Day Dice. It was all about co-op. Did we play anything versus Ra?
No wonder Ra. No wonder we were in Tokyo. No wonder we were so grumpy. We weren't violent enough.
That is true.
That, to be honest with you, that's probably why I stayed around playing for most of the night. So, I don't know. I like some of the competitive games, but sometimes the competitive games just are so fucking boring as you're waiting for a team. Like, my turn is done. Then I got to wait for four more people to finish their turn before I can go again. And that is not fun. Just waiting.
You should be like Glenn. He would play a game like that. He'd wait for his turn, but he wouldn't, because normally you wait for your turn. You have to wait, but usually you're plotting your next move. But Glenn wouldn't even think about his next turn. He just say he would completely be oblivious to what's happening. And then his next turn, oh wait, I should plan out my turn now. Sorry, Glenn ran. Suck at Glenn. I still like you. Anyway, not our Glenn. I'm thinking about a Glenn that doesn't. I just realized our group has a Glenn in it, and I'm thinking about a Glenn who's not in our group.
Oh,
so sorry, yeah. Glenn. I meant the other Glenn. I just wanted to clarify that.
All right, then.
Oh, yeah. Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Good recommendation.
Multiverse.
I'm going to recommend something that I may have been recommended real early in our podcast days, Dragon's Dogma.
You actually did not.
Yeah.
You.
I remember.
Well, he just did the chart.
I'm pretty sure it's not in Excel. All right. He may have mentioned it during a podcast, but I don't think it was during recommendation. I only charted things that were in the recommendation section.
All right.
Oh. Well, you suck.
Dragon's Dogma is a piece. It's for the PS3. I think it's just maybe for the Xbox as well.
That I don't know.
It's a third-person game. It's, you run around kind of in fantasy times, you know, dragons and whatnot. But it's you have one character and three NPCs who you don't really control. You give them instructions, and they sometimes do what you want.
Occasionally.
But graphically, it's amazing. And you fight things like dragons, chimeras, giants. And when you fight a giant, you're like climbing the back of a giant, stabbing the back of the head. You're jumping on chimeras, trying to kill the goat head first. And there's all these type of just super epic level encounters. And the game is just massive. It's kind of open worldish, where you have so many places to go, and if you want to travel from like one corner of the world to the other, I hope you got a good hour and a half. The game has like nighttime, daytime effects. And when it turns nighttime, if you find a corner, if you're outside and you hide in the corner, because that's when the whites and all the really super powerful undead come out, and you
giant
just,
wolves.
You find a corner, you put the controller down, and you just pray for day.
Please tell me when night comes around, it like stops, freezes, and then text comes across that says, "What a horrible night to have a curse."
No, it does not.
Sorry.
And
all the townspeople turn into zombies.
Yeah, that take you like forever to fucking kill.
I was like, I went into a cave for the first time. I had a torch. I walked under a waterfall, and my torch went out. It was like all these little, so bad. But it was so cool that every little effect, and every visual effect, had an effect on your character.
Yeah, but my point is, when you're all covered in water and your torch is out, boy, are you screwed.
So you're covered in water now. You're slow because you're encumbered with water.
There's an actual effect called soaked.
I read an anecdote about it was like dick moves by GMs, and he talked about you saying a cave underwater. Waterfall reminded me, the team did an adventure in a cave under waterfall, and they found like this like statue that was like worth a fortune. It was like this altar that they were supposed to take back, and it was made out of pure sodium. And the chemist out you, it's dawning on you what happens when sodium gets wet, and the answer is horrifically large explosions. So they went to carry the statue out, and the waterfall hit it, and it just like atom bomb.
Nice. And also, too, Dragon's Dogma has, like, flying creatures. So you're flying. I mean, literally, it's as good as Skyrim in regards. Like, when you the best thing about Skyrim is fighting the dragons.
Oh, yeah.
So in this game, when you're fighting griffins and flying creatures, it's in the
there's only one griffin.
That's true. But there's harpies that fly around.
You can fight multiple griffins later.
And there's dragons. There's little dragons that fly around. It's a beautiful looking game.
It is.
Graphically amazing. There's an expansion coming out end of the month. I'm going to start. I never beat it. When the expansion comes out, they've actually revamped the inventory system a little bit because it was really kind of sloppy in some ways.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to kind of pick it up again and just put like hundreds of hours in. And if you're like me and Jeremy, our friends on PS3, so his henchmen will join my group and mine will join his group.
Yeah.
And you can give them like gifts and other people can grab your henchmen.
Yep.
And then when they come back, they go, "Hey, we joined so-and-so and he gave you a diamond
the other cool thing is when your henchman comes back, he's like, "By the way, I was with this guy and we totally did this quest. Would you like to know how this quest works?" And you're like, "Yes. Yes, I would like to know how this quest worked, follower." Like, that totally happened. I don't know how much that happened with my follower for you.
My favorite thing in the game, one last thing for the game, is one time you're in a city, and like, you can, like, copy. You have, like, your quest is to go steal this magic book and give it back to this mage. So you get back to the town, and your henchman's like, "Hey, you know, if you go to this other guy, we could copy it, and you could keep it or sell it and give him a forgery." You're like, "Well, that's sweet." So you go and you go through the quest to get a forger. You give the guy the book and you give him the forge. He thanks you. He gives you the reward. So you get to keep the book, which has a powerful spell. You get the reward. You're all happy. Then, like, later in the game, you're fighting this really powerful monster.
Not a little bit later. Like, a lot
later.
Yeah,
a lot later. You're fighting this monster. He runs up and says, I will help you. He opens up his book and reads out of the book. And if you give him the forgery, like, nothing happens and you're just screwed. It's like 50 hours later. So you're just like, oh, man, I can't even reload that.
It'd be so great if I'd given him the real book right now.
Because that's all you want to do is go back in time. And the most powerful item in the game is given to you by a child. If you, like, it's like some kid's like, hey, you want to race? And if you race and if you beat the kid, you never have a chance at the biggest item in the game. Like, it's like little subtle things.
You have to, like, throw the game.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're a decent human being, yeah, the game decides you deserve the best item in the game.
Yeah. It's just a little obnoxious thing. The game is pretty, it's well done.
It is well done. Yeah, the whole mechanic is really good.
If you like adventure game, and if you like just cool things, you'll like this game. That's my thing.
Like, I remember when I first approached it, I thought, oh, this will be like Skyrim, so I'll just go out and, you know, things will be roughly the same, and if shit goes wrong, I'll just go back to a town, right? So I go through this long cave, and it's, like, clearly over my level, but I'm, like, muddling through using all of my gear, because surely when I reach the end of the cave and come out of the cave, I'll be near a friendly town. And I come out of the cave, and my henchman says, hey, I know this area from this other guy I was with. There's nothing around here for miles. And you're like, oh. So you go back in the cave, and the whole cave respawned all the monsters when you left. You're like, oh, shit.
And if you get hit by the blind effect, you can't see.
You can't see.
Like, and if you don't have, like, a thing in inventory that solves blind, you're just not going to see for the next 10 minutes of your life. You're just going to wander around completely blind, not knowing what the fuck's going on. You can be, like, blind, on fire, soaked.
Yeah.
And you're just like, my day just is sore. Things are attacking you. Oh, you can. It's really blurry, so you can just see things constantly, like, stabbing you.
Yeah. Yeah, like, every once in a while, you just, like, see something come through the blackness and stab you, and you're like, crap. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Sounds like it. My thing.
Oh, yeah, you existed.
I was going to recommend Zombicide.
Yay!
That's another thing we talked about.
It's a good
game.
It
is, but it's a really good game. I really enjoyed it.
We have 6 characters right now. When I get my Kickstarter, we'll have like 25 more characters.
I played a
so
phone
much.
Character.
Yeah, the phone character. Well, I mean, we had 6 plus the 2.
The phone was a pain. I have no clue if you were cheating. I don't know what's going on.
Cheating.
You had like 2 cards in front of you. Your phone was always black. I don't know what your experience
it's a
points
co-op
were.
Game. Why would I cheat?
Because
I'm glad Kay likes Zombicide because it's fun.
It is fun. I liked playing as John McClane.
I like
that's who my character
skate
was.
Girl.
She's also good.
She's my favorite. I like finding a chainsaw as the hot Asian goth.
Yeah, and then getting
not Asian.
She's totally
and then
Asian.
Getting
she has
Jim
blue
killed.
Eyes.
Those are contact lenses.
They are not contact lenses. She's not Asian.
Some Asians.
Her eyes are like owl eyes.
Oh, you racist bitch!
That was your argument. You're like, look, she has squinty eyes.
I did not say that. No. And Jim was like, she can't be Asian. She's all pale. And I'm like, the box even says she puts on white makeup.
Yeah, but her tummy is like.
She puts on white makeup.
On her tummy?
She knows she's going to be showing it off. It wouldn't match otherwise.
I don't think she had time to put makeup on her tummy when she's running from zombies.
You don't know her priorities.
I do know her priorities.
Her priorities included wearing sexy goth clothing.
I love how fast people can die in that game. It's like you get all these cool weapons, and then it's like, okay, zombies double move and you're dead. It's just over.
The double move's the worst.
The double move is the worst.
If that didn't exist, the game wouldn't be as fun because there would never be that risk. You could just math it out.
Yep.
And then the double move happens, and all of a sudden everybody's dead.
Yep. Don't get a wound on your first turn.
Oh, yeah, getting wounded early sucks.
I should have killed that zombie.
I like playing Glenn.
Yep.
Glenn's the hobo?
The other Glenn. No, we have a lot of Glenns today. Which Glenn was the hobo? Was Glenn the hobo?
No, Glenn is the one that's slippery.
Oh,
so he's able to run away
the punk
from
kid with the pistols? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I was playing as Glenn and forgot I was slippery, so I stood and fought when I could have just left.
And got Jim killed as well. Good job.
Yeah, I didn't get him killed. He survived.
Did eventually die.
Well, that was later, so I say it did not have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
There's a certain point where you got to assume that the first domino had nothing to do with the 50th domino. Like, it would have happened eventually
he
anyway.
He was trapped in that building because he did kill a lot of zombies, but they eventually
couldn't get out of the building. Zombies just kept coming through the door, and he kept shooting until one round, click.
If he could roll a 4 or higher on a die, like 1 out of 8 times, he would have been fine. I lured the zombies straight into his shotgun. He failed.
Yeah, this was his fault.
I said, look, friend, I brought you several targets.
To be fair, it was the double activating runners that finally got him.
Yeah, that was. Yeah,
he was fine if it wasn't for that.
Oh, double activating runners are so terrifying. For those of you that played Zombicide, you know what I'm saying. For the rest of you, you're so confused.
Yeah. Well, and the other time we played it, the very first door that we opened had an abomination in it.
Well, the very first game we played.
Yeah.
The very first spot is an
abomination. First game of the day. I guess we're all going the other direction. Man, we are all really gassy
I don't know what you guys ate today. Well, I know
you,
what you ate. You brought I don't know
us,
why you're
you
gassy.
Brought us cookies.
All right, so
what does that do with anything?
We're getting momish on our length here. Do you guys want to do your contest?
There's no way we're 8 hours into this podcast.
No, it's an hour 38 minutes. We're fine.
He does. He's prepared for our contest. If you can identify what's about to happen.
Oh, that's right. Well, were we going to tell them what the category is at least?
Nope.
Well, it's a feat or a spell.
It's a
feat or a spell.
It is. Yeah, it is on a spell card.
Yes. It's on a spell card. So we're going to have Swedish Muslim Jeremy come on to the podcast here in a couple seconds, and last time we gave some retribution strategies, and they're pretty much non-intelligible.
I thought they were very clever and witty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we had a single person even guess what they were.
We did not.
So they were handwritten. I think this time around we're going to actually have him read something from one of the War Machine books.
Yep.
It's going to be one of the spells.
Or
potentially feet. And it'll be up to somebody there to guess what it is. And if they guess what it is, we can have a set of dice come their way.
Love it.
hopefully they'll show up at a convention where I can just hand it to them.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'll
be at Adepticon. So if they're at Adepticon.
I will be at Adepticon.
We'll all
be there. We can give it to them that easy.
Yeah. Wow. You're Adepticon, I will be at
Swedish
Lock and
Muslim
Load.
Jeremy, is that really how they read books where you're from? Because it's taking you forever.
We read books differently.
So, one other quick thing, though, too, is Who's the Boss? Happening at Adepticon. It's going to be amazing. Another thing, the wheel will be at Lock and Load.
Oh, cool.
So, I know there were some folks at War Machine Weekend that were and Mayhem Cup that were kind of like, oh, it's probably not going to be there, but it's going to be there.
Sweet.
It's going to be awesome. Mr. Jeremy, are you ready yet?
I'm ready. Okie. Okay. Are you mocking me? I don't sound like that.
Meep me.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
I am terribly sorry, sir, to have offended you in such a way.
Jeez.
Son of a bitch. Okie. Friendly faction murders begin their activation in Holy Control Area. Can make one additional attack during their activation this turn, regardless of the weapon trial fire. Thank you.
Very nice.
And there we go.
First person
Thank
to post
that.
What that is, then they'll get a set of dice. Yep. Coming from our new set.
Sweet. I'm going to get a few set of dice.
Yeah, that's just cheating. Yeah.
People on the podcast or people possibly tweeting the picture of the page that it was on does not count.
Yes.
So, what about me?
If you can understand, you go for it.
I don't know what I said.
poor Jeremy.
All right.
Get back in your box.
This has been episode 18 of Creeper System. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, we're actually saying bye.